Okay, hey. Welcome to Joel Radio. I'm Joel Fragmenti, your host, co-host, along here with Corey Hall. How you doing, Corey?
Yo.
This is
hey.
Another one of our year-end review shows.
Ho.
I think we end our year with three shows where we review the year.
Yeah, okay.
We do a best movie show.
Uh-huh.
And we do, our famous assholes of the year show. And then this is our best and worst of television show.
All right.
So here's what we're going to do. 30 seconds on the best TV and an hour and a half on the worst. What do you say?
All right, good.
Nah. Corey so wants to rip this fucking shit, I can tell.
Well, look, my worst list is much larger than my best list, I'll be honest.
Well, again, we're going to try to keep to a top 10 best, and then the worst, yeah, you could have 75 worst.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the state of television now anyway, is there's 500 channels, most of them running shit.
Well, in a certain way, it's kind of a golden era for television.
Oh!
In that there is more high-quality adult content than there's ever been. If you really look at, like, what people call the golden age of television,
right?
If you go back to the network days when there were three networks and, you know, blah, blah, bliggity, blue, about the only thing that might have been objectively considered better was, like, the nightly news.
Right, although when you have to consider the nightly news, like, didn't have video from everywhere either, though.
Right.
A lot of times it was just a guy reading off a piece of paper.
Yeah, well, if you go back to the 50s, it was a 15-minute segment, but, I mean... Obviously, there's always been high spots in TV, but, I mean, it was a vast wasteland of suckitude. If you
look at
the 70s, the 60s, if you look at, like, get out a fall schedule from the 60s, and just, you know, My Mother, the Car, and The Flying Nun.
But it was also, a thing where I think people thought it was the golden age, maybe because on a percentage basis.
Well, yeah, they
the
got
stuff
insane
that you
numbers.
Were watching was better, and more people were watching because there were fewer things to watch, so... But no, I agree with you. I heard somewhere that, who was saying this? Ben Affleck was saying this in regards to Argo.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why did you think, and it was a hard movie to make and people didn't want to give him money for it. And he says, well, why did the audience, were you afraid? And he said, yeah, we were afraid because we know that people, when they want to watch good drama, they watch it on television now. And people, when people go to the movies, they go for, action, adventure, or comedy. Yeah. But yet, when people want to see good dramas, they only need to turn on HBO to see those.
Right.
So I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well,
and that will be reflected in my list as well.
We just saw a movie from a TV guy that felt more like a TV show.
It felt more like a TV show.
The David Chase from The Sopranos did a movie, and he didn't really know how to cut a movie, and so he made it too long. And it felt paced like it was television.
Just, yeah.
Right.
It just.
I don't know if I'd watch that show if it was on TV, but it felt like it was paced for television.
It probably would have been better in smaller bites than one big long thing that kind of didn't make a whole lot of... didn't have one thread going through it. I think
what
it
if he made a miniseries of like 6 half-hour?
I could go for that. So anyway. All right, let's get into this. Best and worst of TV. We'll go through our best. I think normally we alternate when we do these, right? So do you want to start it off or should I start it off with my number 10 best show?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, my number 10 best show, and this I'll also cross-reference my 2011 list, and I know you don't have yours, but you know what was on it. This show took a big, giant, precipitous fall. Is that the right word?
Precipitous?
Precipitous fall. From last year's number 3 position on my list all the way down to number 10. Almost out of the top 10, Corey, this show fell. But it is a comedy on NBC called Parks and Recreation.
Oh.
It is my number 10 show of the year. And, it's still good, and it's still the best of those single-camera comedies on a network, in my opinion. Parks and Rec, when it first came out, was sort of seen as the ripoff of The Office. It was done in the same style and, the phony documentary style and all that stuff. And then it sort of found its own voice and became, like, this great show that was certainly better than The Office while it was on. And while now it's better than The Office... I think that's largely because The Office isn't anywhere on my top 10. I think because The Office has completely fallen off the cliff. Actually, The Office is probably better than it was like last year, but it's still not what it was, But Parks and Rec, to me, I think the problem with it, and I like it, and I still like, but I think one of the reasons is that the characters, you know how the characters are going to react in every situation, and that's exactly what they do now. It's very predictable. Andy's going to act wacky, you know. Leslie's going to get overexcited about shit. Ron Swanson's going to do, you know, everybody has their little thing that they all do now, and that's what the episode is. It's sort of paint by numbers now to me.
There's not, well, there was character growth for a while.
Yeah.
The problem with a show like that is sometimes character growth is the enemy.
Yeah.
One of the greatest sitcoms of all time is Cheers, right? Mm-hmm. Cheers was great for almost, there wasn't really a, some people say it got a little lamer at the ending near the last couple seasons, but it did never, it never fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
And that's because that show was just a basic setup with funny people.
Yeah.
And when they moved the characters forward and they had Diane and Sam, then it kind of wavered a little bit.
Yeah.
So when you set up like an office scenario like that, you really should just be able to stick in that format and tell those stories.
Right, yeah.
I have Parks and Rec still on my list. It's a number five.
Okay.
But
do you agree that it's fallen? And whether you it's number 10?
My issue with Parks and Rec is that it's getting a little absurd.
Yeah, okay. That's
I liked it better when it was this. Okay, first of all, this town of Pawnee, Indiana.
You're right, yeah.
It's got to be a city of 250,000. I mean,
It's
supposed to be a small town.
It's supposed to be a small town, which you would think would be 50,000.
They continue, less. I mean, 30,000.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but they're continually adding layers to the. Okay, one, there's the rival town, Eagleton, which looks like they shot it in Bel Air.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous over there. It looks like they went over to Palm Springs or Malibu and stuff. That's. They had a golf course with palm trees on it.
Yeah, that was a good episode where they did the cut where she was standing on the opposite sides of the sign. Do you remember that? She's like, you know, leaving Pawnee, welcome to Eagleton, and welcome to Eagleton was like this great, you know, street.
Right.
And then when she's shooting it from the other side, it's like this freeway overpass with homeless guys.
But they literally did it a bit where they went to a golf course and there were palm trees, and they went, oh, well, we had those. Those are specially modified.
Right.
I mean,
well, it's becoming like Springfield on The Simpsons, where it's whatever you want it to be. It can be bigger or smaller. It can expand and contract depending upon the story.
Which is what some people like about Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I think they're sometimes going a little out of control.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Anytime they go in the woods, they go into the same park that's out in like Ontario County. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can just tell where they're at. The Office has always suffered from the fact that whenever they go outside, they're trying to make parts of Southern California look like Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, but because the mountains don't look the same in California.
Well, when you see the opening credits were actually shot in Scranton on the
Office. But nothing else is ever shot.
And then, you know, it's all hills and mountains, and then they show like where they're working, and it's just, you know, it's a street in the valley.
Right.
It's flat.
Yeah, it's somewhere, it's Endocino or something, and it looks, anyway, my problem with Parks and Rec is sometimes they sent people to Washington this year.
Yeah.
Joe Biden showed up.
That's what it's becoming, too. It's becoming a lot of celebrities sort of walking on.
Right.
And I don't think that's a good thing for a show.
No, that's never a good thing for a show. Yeah. I still liked it. What I like in Parks and Rec is that they do have an expanding cast of characters. And then, like, when Leslie goes and does a radio interview, it's Dan Castellaneta.
Sure,
and they're doing, like, an NPR.
Right. Yeah.
So they are using it to be kind of a satire of a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
But they got to be careful because it gets absurd.
And the thing about the story, too, you know, they've married off these characters to each other. And I think they can't just stay that way. I think they need to break these people up, and that would add something to the show, too.
Well, that's always a problem. So, whenever, you know what? Look, I'm married now, and it's boring.
Well,
look, I understand how it is.
No sitcom about your life.
No, it's dull. Look, being happy is boring. No, I actually think I liked Parks and Rec better, even when. In the first season that people didn't like, when they thought they were kind of boring, I liked it.
Yeah,
better.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Because they were all sort of sad and desperate and lonely.
It had a Christopher Guest sort of vibe at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It had sort of Waiting for Guffman qualities to it.
Right.
And now it's more, I don't know. Leslie Knope is pretty now.
Uh-huh.
Whereas she was sort of
she was undateable.
Pants-suitable, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary Clinton wannabe, and now she's this glamorous.
She was completely undateable in the first season and kind of a mess and awkward, and she'd had sex with the one guy, and he didn't want to talk to her anymore. Like, it got the scale opened up. I still think Parks and Rec is a funny show. I still laugh at it every week.
Yeah.
I still like...
Yeah, I still watch it. I'm not... Again, it's not my top ten.
I like Chris Pratt. I like I like the whole cast. Although they're a little too one note with what's her name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah,
they're not doing much with her.
No, she's. She was interesting when she was
the two gay boyfriends and all that stuff.
Well, she got the guy she wanted, and now she's not interesting anymore. Yeah. So there you go. That's a problem.
So give us, okay. And by the way, you know, I think that was my number one comedy last year.
Okay.
And now it is no longer. So I have other comedies that have surpassed it. But anyway, give me a number 10, Corey.
My number 10 is a show on the Home Box Office network.
HBO.
It's called Veep.
Veep.
Yeah.
When you said HBO, my mind went a million different ways. Mm-hmm. None of them towards Veep.
Yeah.
Tell us about Veep, Corey.
Veep is a show starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, also starring there's a lot of improv people on it. There's guys from what's the thing with the stuff? All right,
the state.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
First of all, I'm of no help. Don't look to me toward any Veep information because I don't know from Veep. So you go ahead.
Yeah,
it's all you.
Veep is a good show. It's Anna Chlumsky's on
Anna
there.
Okay.
Anna Chlumsky actually got hot. I don't know what happened.
She was in My Girl with Macaulay Culkin.
She looked like the gawkiest, most awkward bitch in the history of the. Like she was when she was nine or whatever. She made a movie and everybody was so charmed, but she looked. She literally looked like she'd been hit with the fugly pan.
Yeah.
The big cast iron skillet of fugliness. And now Anna Chlumsky looks really cute.
She grew into her features. Yeah.
Tony Hale is on the show from Arrested Development.
All right.
Who played Buster Bluth. He's good. Matt Walsh, that's the guy. He's from, he was a big member of the UCB. the big improv school there. So there you go. Or the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Upright Citizens Brigade.
So very enjoyable show, I think.
All right.
Very funny. You know, it's about inside the vice president's office.
No.
And she's kind of a sad, pathetic vice president who's kind of unloved by the president. And they're always trying to rally, you know, they're always trying to gain favor. And they're always trying to, it is almost on the precipice of unbelievableness.
Obviously.
I will say that this show is good. Cause she's constantly getting dissed by congresspeople. And, you know, it's all a little inside. Now, it does make you feel awful about government. If you watch this and you go, wow, if people are actually this petty in real life as they are in this show, good
they
God, we're all
are.
In trouble. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's little things like, they're, it's her advanced people and they've got to go and like get her ready. They got to go to the yogurt place and get ready for her appearance. And the yogurt people are kind of hitting them up for money. And, you know, it's a funny show.
Well, maybe I'll check it out.
It's a good show. It has kind of an improv feel.
Yeah, I that's just a show I just, for whatever reason, I never see, you know? I just,
What's nice about Veep is it has an edge to it.
Yeah.
Which I think Parks and Rec is losing a little bit of.
Sure.
Parks and Rec, the writing room in Parks and Rec wanted to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
You know, like Jerry, the loser on that show.
Yeah, he has a hot wife.
His wife is played by Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
Come on. And I know that's a joke.
Yeah,
but at the other at
well,
the
he,
other,
they gave him the hot daughter like a couple seasons ago, and
sure.
then now they give him
the. But the running joke is that Jerry is the schnurr of the world, and they all take a dump on him.
Yeah,
and there's never really any relief for Jerry. It's always just kind of like, oh, Jerry's here, and that's like the running joke. And then they give him Christy Brinkley. Now I know that's funny once, but at the end of the day, you think. Well, that's why Jerry doesn't give a shit what people say to him at work, because he goes home to Christy fucking Brinkley.
I don't know.
But Veep has the courage to keep its characters sort of repellent and
that's good.
And unlikable. It's a funny show. I like Veep a lot. So that's my number 10.
Corey has number 10. Well, I will match your comedy that I've never seen with a comedy that I'm guessing you've never watched. But yet it is now my number 9. It is debuting in my top 10, and that is Raising Hope.
Oh, no, I've watched Raising
Hope. You've watched Raising Hope. Okay. Now, what do you think of Ray? Because my thing with Raising Hope is, you know, my girlfriend was into it.
Yeah.
And then I started watching it and kind of not enjoying it. And I don't know if they made it better or if I just started, like, opening up to it. But I think they made it better. And I think this season's been very good. Although I have to say it was higher on my list. And then I saw the Christmas episode that was on this past week. And I knocked it down a couple notches. But I still went with it. It's created by the guy. I think, what is his name? I think his name is Greg Garcia.
Right.
Who did My Name is Earl.
Yes.
And I believe the show sort of takes place in the Earl universe. Because Earl's been on it.
Oh, has he really?
I think he's been on it. I mean, most of the actors from that show have been on. But I think they even, like, actually used Earl once. They actually used a Jason Lee as Earl.
Okay.
So it's all sort of dumb hillbillies, which, you know, the town is very white trash, and there are the, you know, white trashiest people in it. But some of the actors in this, like Martha Plimpton is great. The dad, I forget the dad's name.
Garrett Dillahunt.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
That guy's fantastic. He's probably the funniest guy on TV right now. I mean, that guy's awesome. And he plays this dim-witted, you know, dad. And look, dumb TV dads, I'm kind of over. But he plays it so good, man. That guy's tremendous.
Well, you know what's nice is that everybody's dumb on that show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're all uniformly dumb, except maybe Jimmy's girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's marginally smarter than everybody else.
Well, she's dumb that she puts up with them.
Sure, right. Why is she hanging around?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a show, though, also that flirts with the edge of being ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah. It does. It does go that way sometimes. But they did a whole thing where, like, they had to do... they were doing, like, candy sales to raise money for something.
Uh-huh.
And they turned it into, like, drug wars. Where, like, they were mixing up the candy with, like, caffeine, and then they were, like, doing hits on each other for, like, it was great. It was this whole parody of, like,
sure,
you know, like Goodfellas or Scarface. They did all these movie parodies inside of it, and it was just really, really funny. And you know, this show, boy, this show can miss sometimes, but it's been hitting a lot. And that little kid's real cute, but they don't overuse the kid. Like, the kid's hardly on the show now. It seems like there's less of the kid.
That seems to be a thing where people realize that you can't build the show around the kid.
Yeah, the kid was all about the kid, and now the kid is... Sometimes the kid you only see, like, for 10 seconds in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done some really funny guest stars over the years. I'm trying to remember who exactly, but lots of fun. Lots of, like, Patton Oswalt was on there, and lots of funny people. I can't even off the top of my head say.
I think a television show is at its best when it ignores children, much like people do in the real world.
But when they have the kid's cute. The kid's funny. Like, they get good stuff out of the kid.
Look, I'm not interested in your opinion until you're about 9 or 10.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Seven-year-olds can piss up.
Well, Hope is,
I don't care what a
Hope
seven-year-old
is three
is.
On the show. So.
Three? Good. Yeah. Play. Here you go. Go watch Dinosaur Train and go poop in a bag.
Yeah.
And we'll keep you safe until you're useful to someone, all right?
Yeah, so Raising Hope has won my respect this
year. All right, you know what?
And I like it, so.
I think it's a decent show. I didn't have it on my list, but it, you know.
Well, you know, they have that Tuesday lineup on Fox.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll get into that later. In another section of the show, I will talk about the Fox Tuesday night lineup with comedies.
There you go.
If you know where I'm going with that.
Sure.
But so Raising Hope is the class of that lineup.
All right. Not a bad show at all.
All right. Give me a number 9, Corey.
Number 9, I'm going to go with another Fox show, Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yes, sir. Bob's Burgers.
I would not have pegged you as a Bob's Burgers
fan.
Well,
this is another show that, you know, my wife watches. Oh. So, but I enjoy Bob's Burgers. It's got H. John Benjamin, who is apparently... the busiest guy in, like, he does every cartoon. He's on Archer, which is a great show too.
Okay,
he just does it. You'll recognize his voice. He was on Dr. Katz.
Okay,
he does a lot of cartoon voices. It's got your homegirl from Flight of the Conchords,
Kristen Shaw.
Kristen Shaw is on there.
Shaw,
yes. Eugene Merman is on there.
Yeah.
A lot of comics come in. A lot of, like, Bob Odenkirk and a lot of guys come in and do voices on that show, which I'm always, you know, any show that hires a lot of comedians, I always like.
That's, yeah, usually that, that.
Yeah, I think Patton comes on and does voices. Yeah. It seems like it's a good, I think the guys went, hey, let's give some stand-ups a couple extra bucks and have them come in and do some voices. It's quirky. It's always good for a couple laughs out of me, and that's a really low standard, I know. But I'm guaranteed a couple, at least 2 to 3 laughs in an episode. Sometimes 6 to 7.
Okay.
So that's pretty solid for me, because I'm a tough audience.
Yeah, I would say so.
And for a TV comedy, that's a pretty good.
For comics, sometimes comedies are the last things you want to watch because they're getting it wrong or they're pandering to the audience and they're not. I don't know. They're just not as good as what our standards for comedy are higher.
Well, even comedies that I like, I'll sit there and kind of watch in a detached sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Bob's Burgers usually gets me. It's you know, it's a show. It's about a dumpy. It's a family that owns a burger joint in a town by the seaside, and that's about it. Really, it's really kind of absurdist and wacky, and it doesn't remind me of The Simpsons at all, which is nice.
Yeah, that is good. Because my problem with it, I've never really seen a whole episode of Bob's Burgers, but it's my fatigue of Fox's animation.
Sure.
is very, very high at this point. Yeah. And really animation in general, I just find between, you know, the Adult Swim stuff
mm-hmm.
and all of Seth MacFarlane's crap, I just kind of go, yeah, I'm just, you know, if I want to watch animation, I'll actually watch a Simpsons.
Right.
Even a new Simpsons. If I, you know, at this point, I still can't get myself past the point that that's not the best animated show.
What I like about Bob's Burgers is it doesn't feel like those other shows, yeah. which all of everything Seth MacFarlane does has the exact same tone.
It's the same tone, yeah.
And I'm sure he'll probably be addressed at some point in this show or another
yeah,
show
okay,
that we'll do
right.
soon.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, this the Bob's Burgers has its own feel. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of if you liked Home Movies, if you like Dr. Katz, it's got more of that low key kind of vibe. And then they kind of let comics come in and play wacky characters. So fun show. I give Bob's Burgers a thumbs up. Yeah.
Sunday nights on Fox. Go watch
that.
There
you go.
Now, my number 8 show was my number 9 show last year. So this one is moved up a notch. And that is Survivor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch. Listen, if you can hear at home, Corey tuning out for the next minute here. No, here's the thing about Survivor, and I talked about it last year, and people know what Survivor is. So if you're not watching it, I get why you're not watching it. You've seen it. You know what it is. They added Lisa Welchel this year.
Sure.
From Facts of Life. And she's great on the show.
Okay.
She is this prudish, you know, now 40-something church lady who's divorced.
Sure.
And she can't decide how she's going to, like, how she's going to play the game, if she wants to fuck people over or not. And then
I think she wants to fuck people over.
I think that's where the story's going. But for the arc of the season, mm-hmm. she was doing very good. They were thinking about getting rid of her because physically she wasn't very good. And she sort of maintained through this whole show and gotten to now where we haven't mm-hmm. seen the finale as of us doing the show. It hasn't aired yet. So she's been just a great story on the show. And it's funny to see, like none of the 20-somethings know who she is.
Sure.
And then there's like two guys in their 40s that were on the show, and they're like, oh, I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
But like, I still don't even think it came out on the show that she was this child star. I think that's even been kept under wraps.
I mean, you'd recognize, you know.
Well, if you don't know Facts of Life, you wouldn't recognize
but, you
it.
You know,
but
if there's
the
a guy who's like our age.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing. Yeah, the guys that are our age.
The guy who's like 34 to 40 would know who she was and go,
and
oh.
And you know what? Really, she's held up very well for her age as well. I'll say that.
As so, you know, yeah. I can't stand Survivor.
You can't stand Survivor.
I think
Survivor.
It's lame.
Okay.
Here's the thing with Survivor. It's probably the same level of quality that it has been at any point in the series.
It
of the
comes
show.
And goes with the cast, and also they modify the rules slightly
okay.
from year to year.
The so. Point with Survivor and the point with the other CBS reality show that I will not watch again, Big Brother.
Big Brother, yeah.
Those are dead to me.
There's, okay.
Whatever they do, I don't care. You know what I mean? Maybe if they did a celebrity Survivor
yeah.
and it was all Lisa Welchel's and it was all celebrities, I'd look at that for a minute.
Sure. Yeah.
But the format of Survivor where they're going to do an immunity challenge and they're going to have to, somebody's going to go out there and try and spear a fish.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
None of it, like, because it just, none of it seems to make a difference to me at all.
Okay.
Because they don't really seem to ever be in danger of survival purposes.
People get injured and people have to leave the show for injuries uh-huh. and infections and people fall off shit and hurt themselves. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens.
They seem to find places where there's no, like, predators. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no pumas and shit
well,
trying to eat them,
I mean,
right? Right?
That's not, no one's making that show. I mean,
right.
You know, what's his name is running around?
Les Stroud.
Les Stroud and the other guy, the British guy.
Yeah, that jerk off.
They're running around, you know, eating snakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, come on.
No, see, that.
But
see,
the show.
Survivor Man, the show with Les Stroud, he's not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Or he's going out and doing different sorts of shows.
Yeah, right.
Because he was like, this is crazy. I'm going to get killed out
here.
But when he's out there in the desert, like trying to make a bucket to catch rainwater.
Yeah.
Or condensation,
uh-huh.
and then he's drinking his own pee.
Yeah.
That's compelling television.
Well, you know, Survivor has certainly played down the fact that these people are all going to die out here. Like, that, they haven't really advertised that book
right.
in a very long time. That's not really what the show emphasizes mm-hmm. anymore. But, you know, they do.
What does it emphasize? I could care.
Look, it's
so
it's like any reality competition where you're getting rid of people. The game is more of a social game about who, you know, mm-hmm. who likes each other based upon the work that they do at the tribe, yeah. work they do at the camp, and then how well they do in the challenges,
here's
how they pick to get rid of people. So
here's, I believe, why I don't like those shows.
Why is that?
Because I live in the world.
Okay.
That shit happens to me every day. What's the fun for me in that?
Well, I mean, it's like, but you'll watch people, you'll watch The Apprentice, which is like, what the fuck are those people doing?
You know,
they're doing complete nothing.
You know what I like about The Apprentice?
They're making a lemonade stand. A bunch of celebrities.
The difficulty with
unrealistic.
The difficulty with The Apprentice is that the decision comes down to Donald Trump.
That's true. Okay.
That's the real problem.
But that's why Survivor's better, is because it's social. It's made up the other people. You can't win Survivor on your own. You need the other people to actually hand you the prize.
What I do like about The Apprentice, and believe me, The Apprentice is a terrible show.
Yeah.
And we'll hear more from Donald Trump.
It's a terrible show, yeah.
We'll hear more from Donald Trump at some point in the future of this podcast.
Okay.
But what I like about The Apprentice is the tasks that they're doing sometimes involve marketing. They sometimes, you know what I mean? And sometimes they involve, like, okay, the one where they did a radio jingle.
Okay.
And, like, they did Chicken of the Sea. This is, like, 2 years ago. And Joan Rivers did her jingle. And it was good because Joan had done stuff like that. And it was, like, it sounded like a good, funny radio commercial. And then Clint Black sang his song and whatever. I enjoy that stuff. I actually enjoy the building of an advertising campaign and the marketing.
All right.
And when they do that stuff, it's interesting. When it's like, Lou Ferrigno doesn't respect me. No, that's the worst part. That's the worst part of that show.
110%. 110% every time
I could get about 7 minutes of that a show, but they do 45 of that, right?
By the way, I'm reading Penn Jillette's new book, and apparently there's a whole chapter about Celebrity Apprentice, why Clay Aiken is an asshole.
No.
It's all in the book, and I'll
well, of course, that speaking of assholes, Penn is going to come right back and do another Celebrity
Yeah, he's
friend.
Back on the new one that
right.
starts.
Because all he did was bitch about how he didn't like the process.
Yeah. Well,
he hated
right
the people involved.
Yeah. He's right back.
And now
on.
He's right back.
Okay, give me a number 8, Corey, if you will.
My number 8, I'm going to go. I know, Sean. I'm going to go with Community.
Community. All
right. On NBC. Now, there have not been episodes of Community since last summer.
It was on in 2012, so that works.
Yeah, but it hasn't been on since May.
It hasn't made the fall schedule. It'll be on in the spring, I guess we're guessing.
Yeah, it's coming
winter.
Eventually. Yeah. The final season of Community. And that's really almost sort of a solidarity vote more than anything else. It's really more because Community, to me, has dropped off a little bit.
Yeah.
Much like Parks and Rec, I think Community dropped off. It got a little too absurd.
Yeah.
But at their heights. And there were some great episodes last season, which if you count all the way back to 2011, in that last season, there were some great episodes. They did an episode where they had a pillow fight and they staged it like Ken Burns Civil War.
Okay.
And it was great. It was really good. And then, of course, they fired Dan Harmon, the creator of Community.
That'll make it better.
Yeah.
Like, what
so
are they
I think really out of just support. Now, I don't think everything Dan Harmon does is absolute genius.
Sure.
I'm not like a cultist of Dan Harmon.
Right.
I think the guy is, you know, funny, and he's obviously made a very interesting original show. Sometimes it gets too in its own idiosyncratic universe, and it's still sometimes it gets too involved in its own little mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give a shout out to Community, and it's going away. So
it's going
why
away.
Why not wave hail and farewell to Community? It also has two of the hottest girls in the world on there. I mean, those two. Oh,
yeah,
they did
saying.
A Vanity Fair shoot.
Oh my god,
where
goodness.
They were wrestling and tuggling.
They've been on our front page of Joel Radio, spanking each other.
Times.
We put
sure,
them
sure,
up.
Sure.
We never
but I do love those two,
yeah.
Allison Brie,
yeah.
and Jillian. So
okay.
What is her name?
I don't know.
All right, good.
I don't Community. I tried watching it when it came on. I went, this show's right up my alley, and I just kind of
and it wasn't.
And I just didn't get it. I feel like that has some sort of Comedy Central axiom of hipster comedy that's really not funny that I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I come from a comedy tradition of funny comedy, and I know that sounds like a terrible knock on it. But you know what I mean? It's more of it's less absurdist and more based in reality than Community. I mean, I know I like Parks and Rec, which isn't or Raising Hope too, but for some reason, Community, I just couldn't get over the.
You're
the,
saying
the
it's hurting. A little too ironic.
It's a little too
ironic hipstery.
Yeah, I mean, but I love Flight of the Conchords, which was like that too. So I don't know. I mean, I like that stuff sometimes, and Community hasn't been one of those times.
No, believe
I agree with you on the broads.
Believe me, Community does not hit all the time.
Yeah.
And
but it also, you know, there's so much on that it's hard to be a fan of, you know what I mean? It's hard to be a fan of so many shows.
I'll tell you what it is about Community. It doesn't hit all the time. It does have some soft spots, and I'm certainly willing to admit that. And there's a lot of stuff that's conceptual.
Yeah.
That's not as funny as they think it is.
Yeah.
But it will occasionally have
I remember.
You know what it is? It's an episode-to-episode thing.
Yeah.
It'll depending on, I don't know who wrote it or who directed it,
yeah.
Some episodes of that show are brilliant.
Yeah.
Some episodes are really mediocre.
Well,
it varies from
I think one
week.
Of the problems, too, and I think the last time, and I talked about it on the show the last time I watched it, was that I feel like they're throwing, like, everything's a joke.
Yes.
There's no dialogue between people. There's no setups for the actual humor, because everything's a punchline. Everything's a one-liner. It's all quips. Everybody talks fast. Everybody has a one-liner at every second of the day. Versus, you know, you talk about Parks and Rec, we have like Jerry, who's sort of this put-upon guy. Everybody in Community is a smartass.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is you know, has a great line every second.
Right.
And it's fatiguing.
Jerry never says something intentionally funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He only is funny in one direction, in that people make fun of him.
Yeah.
And that his character is like,
Right.
But Jerry's never a wiseacre who says something funny. You're right. That's also the problem that all of these shows experience. The longer that they stay on, the writers are getting bored with themselves.
Yeah.
And they diverge. The further they get away from being real.
Yeah.
I like, you know what I'm saying? Parks and Rec started out as a real small town.
Yeah.
Their little petty fights with the library and things like that felt real.
But,
and then the same thing with Community.
But when the characters have no real life, you can't base the humor on anything other than they just becomes one. You know, they just become two-dimensional, and there's nothing to, you know, get on them about.
That's that's why Community is my number eight, and it's not at the top of my list.
Very good. All right, let me give you a seven here. This is a non-scripted show, another non-scripted show. Survivor I've had on there. On the A&E Network, it is debuting in my top. It might have because I think it came on this year for the first time.
Okay.
But my number seven show is Shipping Wars.
Oh, okay.
Now, Corey.
That was my number six.
Oh, really? Shipping Wars. Now, I remember the last time talking to you about Shipping Wars.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was off the air. You said, I'm not into that. You're like, I like the Storage Wars. I like this, but the Shipping Wars,
I got into it.
And you got into it. All right. Well, good. I'm glad to see you came around because part of this thing about this show, first of all, there's a whole thing about how Storage Wars is fake. We may be talking about it today. I'll let you handle that. This thing about Shipping Wars is this. This thing's fake as fucking can be. But here's the thing. What's not fake is what the element that I like about it, the whole bidding on, we're gonna, you know, basically it's a show about truckers. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like, you know, they're different classes of truckers. One guy's like a real 18-wheeler. One guy's just got a big truck. One guy's got like a van. But anyway, they bid on different things and they have to take it across the country. But what's not fake on here is the actual road trip. That to me is the most interesting part.
Right.
Like, is this thing going to fall apart on the road when this is happening?
Well,
when the guy's van breaks down. That stuff is all interesting to me. As a guy who's done lots of long road trips and seen them go awfully wrong and hating them when they happen to me, I sort of enjoy watching other people go through that shit. So a long motor vehicle adventure is something I enjoy.
Shipping Wars is interesting in that it works in exactly the opposite way of every other treasure hunter, instant cash, fortune, auction show on Earth, in that you only lose money.
Right, right, right.
There's never really, it's never like, oh God, I made all this extra money. No, you might get lucky and stay close to your quote.
Right.
But you never actually make more. And in fact, they bid each other down instead of up. So it's really kind of fighting for a tight margin.
Well, yeah, you only watch them. You only watch things fall apart on this show.
Yeah.
They never really go. I mean, even when they're successful, there's still a lot of bumps along the way, which, you know, some of those I think are probably trumped up by the show a bit.
Right.
But it is entertaining to watch people, because sometimes, you know, you go and you watch the guy try to pick something up and you just go like, if this was me, I would be telling people to go fuck themselves right and left. And the one guy on there, Roy, kind of does. Like, he's a real dick, and he's kind of the best guy on there.
Because
he is dicky with people and has no patience. But I look at that and go, like, you couldn't pay me $1 billion to do this. And this guy's doing it for $2,000. You know, and I just go, like, well, what are you thinking? So it's very entertaining. I think they got it. They got that one right. So
yeah.
That's my number seven show.
Yeah, that's a good show. I mean, well, you know, it's
so that was your six.
It's you're right. The problem with the fakery is that these guys don't live anywhere near each other,
sure,
and they try and create a sort of sense of drama where they're arguing. No, also, they fake this shit on Storage Wars where, you know, they all go out and have a beer after the taping.
Right, right, yeah.
But they act like they're, oh, I hate that Daryl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they're really like
that. Part of Shipping Wars is they go around talking shit about each other. Like, I guess apparently they're not there when the other guy's moving his object.
No.
But I guess they're showing him the footage and then they're just goofing on it.
They're hundreds of miles from each other. So they're that element of Shipping Wars is a little lame.
It is, yeah.
They're all like, you know, they all have a, it's like a, they
way to go,
like,
Roy.
You know. Boy, you should have tied that one down.
Jarrett, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You can't move yourself across the room without breaking something.
Instead
you know?
Of tying one on, you should have tied that down. Hey,
yeah,
hey,
some of the delivery is not great.
He doesn't know how to take a, I'll tell you, well, you want to know about hauling pigs. I can haul pigs. Anyway. Yeah, that part is lame, and the jokes that they put in these people's mouths. That boy, in Storage Wars is really
bad. They do the same thing, too, but Shipping Wars took it to another level.
And these schmucks cannot deliver a joke, and they put a joke in their mouth, and it's bad. Okay, I'll give you Shipping Wars. Sure, good times.
Number seven. All right, give me a number seven. Corey?
Number seven is another kind of a solidarity vote, or a kind of a congratulations pat on the back. I'm going to give it to The Layover with Anthony Bourdain on the Travel Channel. Now, I would say also No Reservations ended this year, and you could probably count these. They're basically extensions
of the
same
show. What is in The Layover? Now, The Layover is not the clip show, right?
It's original. The premise of The Layover is basically if you're stuck in this town for 2 days or whatever, which is he often says on the show. If you believe the phony clock that we're running at the bottom, you're full of it. Yeah. But what he really does, more than No Reservations, where he'll go to really extreme places and, like, you know, he'll do an episode on Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he'll go and try and find places that are interesting to you that you should go to in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he'll pick the names of the bars and he'll show you the map. It's a little bit more travel-y, but it's done in Anthony Bourdain style.
Yeah.
And I think it's more useful because I wish we'd seen the Paris one before we went to Paris.
Ah.
Because he had like three or four places that I went, oh, that's like gelato stand.
Yeah.
Looks incredible.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, on No Reservations, he would always try to get to the deeper meaning of the culture and all that stuff.
This is a
And that's not very useful when you're traveling.
No, and I enjoy No Reservations. And in No Reservations, it was also a lot more stunt based.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're going to do this scene where I'm fishing in the Caribbean or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And it is more poetic and sort of, this one is a little more. This is, you know, he'll go, this is the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago.
It's a more realistic take on.
Yeah, it's travel. Also a lot more state-based, you know, so it's like Philadelphia and Chicago. He did go to Paris, but I mean, he gives you a better sense of, on No Reservations, he'll go to a country and he'll be like, I'm in Seoul, and then he'll go to like some other crazy parts of it.
Yeah.
Here he'll give you a sense of the city. I like that. I like Tony Bourdain. He's moving to CNN.
What's he going to do on there?
He's doing a show on CNN, which is CNN's really trying to do. They're trying to change their whole thing.
But Jeff Zucker just took over at CNN.
Right.
And he's part of that, or was he before Zucker?
He was hired before Zucker,
He might be in trouble then.
He might have.
Zucker not having a great track record, as we know.
Well, you know, I don't know why. Tony Bourdain seems like one of these guys who likes to just kind of blow it all up when he leaves.
Yeah.
He blew up the Food Network and then I think Travel Channel he's fighting with on the way out the door.
Okay.
But I do like what he does. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it's more interesting than a lot of stuff. It's definitely the most interesting travel show.
Okay.
More interesting than a lot of stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny because I turn on the TV and I see Anthony Bourdain. I don't know if it's an old one. There's so much of his stuff out there.
Right, right.
And now I've seen its clip shows from No Reservations where they're all chopped up. And so I kind of shrug my shoulders and go, I don't even know what this is.
I think they've shot a billion episodes.
Yeah.
Or they've shot a lot of footage, so now they're doing clip shows.
Like, I probably have seen The Layover, but I don't even know what it is. You know what I'm saying?
It's really not all that different from No Reservations, except it's focused on one city at a time.
All right, so I'm going to do a couple in a row, because I know I hit your six and five.
Okay.
So, number six, and I'm wondering if this is on your top ten, but I have another unscripted show, and that is Shark Tank, is my number six show.
Okay.
And did you make your last Shark Tank?
My number three.
Oh, good. Oh, look at me.
You're knocking off my list. It's not really a great list.
Well, Shark Tank, but listen, that's a good show. I mean, Shark Tank is something that I avoided for a long time because I used to like the show called American Inventor. I think it ran for about two seasons on ABC.
And I think American Inventor was an attempt to do Shark Tank before they did Shark Tank.
Right. I think there was the Canadian show Dragon's Den, or maybe Dragon's Den was in the UK.
It's in Canada.
It was in Canada originally. They brought over American Inventor where they made it more about not people who had established businesses, but the people who just invented something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great because it was just wacky shit that didn't work. You know, it was like the flops of American Idol or the flops of any of these shows, Last Comic Standing or America's Got Talent, where you watch these horrible acts. So it was people with horrible inventions, and they would get goofed on by these invention experts, and it was funny. And then they tried to make it more like the real Canadian show, Dragon's Den, with people with established businesses, and I said, I'm not into this, because I want to watch people fail. What I didn't realize is that the panel that they had brought in for Shark Tank is fantastic. It's the biggest group of, like, our assholes of the year.
Yeah.
Those could be our top five, those guys.
Right.
That they're so fantastically dicky to these people. and in a good way, because, you know, when someone's a dick to, like, some kid on America's Got Talent, you kind of feel bad for the kid. But you don't feel any, when somebody spends their life savings on, like, a cookie bakery that's hemorrhaging money, they deserve to get yelled at. And that's the purpose of these people on Shark Tank.
Well, I don't know about the
they really do bust people's chops when they have bad ideas.
I'll tell you
and
what.
And deservedly so.
I'm a little split on this.
In what way?
In your take on it. One, I think part of it's played up for the cameras.
Some of that.
Kevin O'Leary and Robert Herjavec are from the Canadian
show.
They
are, yeah. I've seen the Canadian show. Since I became a fan of Shark Tank, I went and started watching the Canadian show.
The Canadian show cracks me up because it's got Canadian-centered stuff.
It does, yes.
And the guy's like, you know, I built a curling... this guy built wheels that you put on the bottom of a curling stone so that you can curl in the summer. I mean, it's how Canadian is
exactly.
that? And they all thought that was stupid.
Exactly.
But the Canadian show is so lame. Another guy had a device for the Tim Hortons roll up the rim to win contest. He built a little widget that you could roll the rim up. I swear to God.
How is that? That guy's not a billionaire?
I don't know.
I mean, come on.
And they were like, yeah. So they didn't want to buy that. Anyway, Shark Tank is really compelling. I don't know why it's compelling. People come in and they have an item. And you almost know how the guys are going to bid or whatever. The guys, they'll make offers for the business. And then you've got Robert Herjavec, who's like some kind of software guy.
Yeah.
All he ever bids on are things involving guitars or like sports boats.
Right.
Like he has, it's a real like.
He gets about two deals a season, it seemingly.
He doesn't get involved in a lot of action.
Yeah.
Robert might occasionally get like a third of a chunk
with other guys.
He'll go, I'll throw in 50,000. Yeah. But he doesn't buy a lot of stuff. And the stuff that he does buy, I think he bought Guitar Buddy, which was a guy who had Chord Buddy, which was a chord playing.
It helps you play the guitar.
Teaching system. If it's got a guitar or a race car, Robert probably goes because he's like a midlife crisis deal going on.
Yeah.
Then you got Kevin O'Leary, who's like a big star in Canada, by the way. And he's like,
I guess, yeah.
He's kind of like the Jim Cramer of Canada.
He does investment shows.
Yeah,
and that
he's
kind
got
of
his
stuff.
Own. There's a the O'Leary Report or whatever. He's got his own shows in Canada.
He's very entertaining. I've looked around. This guy.
Yeah, and he's the real jerk, and he's the guy that's really. And his business was a software company.
Yes. Do you know what he did? I looked up exactly what he did.
Uh huh.
Did you ever go to like
educational software?
If you go to like Office Max, and they probably still have remnants of this, but you would get you could buy 5,000. Or something, or like 100 great PC pieces of software on one disc.
Right.
And they were sort of these shareware discs.
Uh-huh.
That's what he did largely. Now, he did some other stuff that was more high concept. But originally, when he got out, he would just bundle all this stuff that he would collate, put it on a disc. This is before people were downloading. You know, now you want a piece of software, you just go download. You don't worry about a disc. But he would put all this software on a disc and sell it for $10. And it would be in every end cap of stores.
He made his money in a business that doesn't really exist
anymore.
Big
bins, yeah. And then he was bought out for $3 billion by, I believe it was Tyco or some big toy company, which now that it's considered. It's funny that he's such a big star now. Cause
considered the worst deal ever.
It was considered for the buyers the worst deal in the history of business. But he got $3 billion cash. So, yeah, I think he made one good deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's great. And then the other guys, you got Mark Cuban, who we all know.
And Cuban also made his money selling software.
Well, Cuban also, he sold Broadcast.com, I think, for $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
him and his partner. So right. they gave him $1 billion for a piece of shit.
Now, too. I like Mark Cuban the best on the show because I think he's the most honest with people.
Yeah. He's willing to take a chance on stuff that's sort of dumb.
Yeah.
Which I like. You know?
And the way Cuban operates is that, like, if he's got another business, like, if he's got a cable network, he's got a chain of movie theaters.
Yeah.
He owns the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he'll jump in on a product he thinks he can market through those other channels.
Yeah.
Like this woman had chocolate covered pretzels. Mm-hmm. There was nothing about her chocolate covered pretzels that weren't the same as any other chocolate covered pretzels.
Right.
Except he went, well, these are good and I can sell them at my movie theaters.
Yeah. There it is, at the simplest.
So I made it kind of a good, but Mark will invest in stuff. He's pretty fun.
Yeah. He's the fun guy. He's the guy that, you know.
Yeah.
I think people, when they come on, they want to partner with him because he's fun.
Right.
You know, they go like, oh, this will be cool.
Then they have Damon John from FUBU.
Yeah.
And he's a real hard ass about everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's a, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And he's real quick if, like, somebody, he doesn't like the way someone presents their thing.
Yeah.
He'll get pissy.
Yeah.
With that, he'll hate their attitude. They don't respect him. He gets all gangster. And then they have two women that they interchange, and one of them's a miserable old cow who could dry up.
But she seems to be, you're talking about Barbara Corcoran Inch, but she seems to be the most helpful to actually help. You get the feeling you can call her and she'll actually help you with something.
She's probably the most hands-on, and I'm sure she's helpful for some businesses. I don't care for her.
Yeah.
You don't
want to.
And then guys come on the show and kiss her ass like she's some hot number. And she's this old dried up.
She made her money in New York real estate, which is pretty competitive. So she must have some.
Right.
She's also, you know, she is a real estate expert on like the Today Show. Like she shows you what your money can get for, but you know. What does $300,000 buy you in today's real estate market?
They play this thing where Barbara comes on, you know, on Shark Tank and they're like, guys hit on her. In their pitches, and they play like she's slutty or something, and it's like Lady Elaine.
She's a 55-year-old woman, you know.
No, I mean, she's brutal.
She's not that bad. I mean, she's not a sex symbol, but I think she is valuable on that show in her
world. She looks like my art history teacher from 12th grade.
So her biggest beef is that she's not attractive.
I just don't like her personality. There's something grating about her personality. I agree with you in that some of the stuff she invests in, and she'll invest in a lot of like. Women's apparel and sort of products that the other people don't have.
If you're selling jams and jellies, that's your lady.
Sometimes.
She doesn't like
those businesses as much.
Yeah, she does. She does all that.
She'll get involved in stuff, and she tends to make really... her deals are usually pretty... They don't leave a lot of margin for the other people. I watched the hell out of the show.
You're good.
God, I really have studied it. And then they rotated the other girl. They're much younger and more appealing. Lori from QVC.
Well, Lori, first of all, Lori, if you don't know what Lori looks like, she's like a 40-year-old Jewfrau from Chicago.
But compared to Barbara, she's a hot
piece
of ass.
I know, but she's hardly like a hot... I mean, you know, she ain't going on Community anytime soon. You know?
I'm talking, we're going... Okay.
Everything's relative.
Look, she's a 6, maybe a 7 on a good day. Barbara's a 2.
If you're watching that show for hot broads, you're looking in the wrong place.
I just don't find... I find Barbara displeasing.
Okay, all right.
Kevin's a dick, too, but I, you know, whatever. Something about her.
Kevin looks like you, so it's fine.
Thank you. Fuck yourself. Look, you chubby.
If you were in a suit,
clean
shaven with a pinky ring,
by the way,
you look like Kevin O'Leary.
How many times people ask me if you're my brother? Asshole. So don't go start talking about how ugly I am.
Is Joel your younger brother?
Younger brother, my ass. Yeah, people think we're related, so go kiss my dick. All right, look.
All right, it might be time for you to pick a
chubby
show.
Chubby bastard.
What did I just do? I just did Shark Tank. That was my 6, and I hit your 6, right?
Yeah, it was my 3. All
right. No, but I hit your 6 and your 5, right?
Yeah, so I got you. Boy, we're
so I have to give a 5. No, it's fine. I have to give a 5. It's no problem. Okay. Let me give my number 5. My number 5 show... Now, where was this last year? This was my number 10 last year, and boy, this thing had fallen off in season 2, but it bounced back for season 3, and that is The Walking Dead on A&E.
Uh-huh.
The Walking Dead is my number 5 show. Last year, I remember going out, they spent the whole fucking season on this farm,
yeah.
And I guess they were cutting the... Well, they stretched the show from 6 episodes to 10 for season 2, or to 13, I forget what it was, and they fucking made season 2 the dullest fucking... Boring as zombie shit. They even like had like they would have like 2 zombies a show. It was just a complete season 2 was the biggest fucking head scratching mistake of a season I've ever seen. And then season 3 got great again. So good for them. Walking Dead, they're in a prison now. Mm-hmm. They've killed a couple main characters. They introduced some new characters, which I don't really care for, but I don't think those guys are long for the show either. They have this sort of angle going with, you know, one of the problems with shows like dramas, and we'll get to this even with another show on my list, is sometimes they have to change the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever the antagonist is sort of changes.
The new bad guy comes in.
There's the new bad guy, and it sort of takes the focus off. Mm-hmm. And in The Walking Dead, the bad guys were only always the zombies. Now the bad guys are other people.
Right.
And they sort of made a focus that hopefully they go back to fighting zombies and figuring out why the infection happened. But the action's been great. It's been really, really a return to form for Walking Dead.
I resisted The Walking Dead fiercely for a long time. Actually, I watched the pilot, and I thought the pilot was good. But
very good pilot, yeah.
But then I never came back to it.
Yeah.
Because, one, I hate zombies. I'm over the zombies. I've seen every zombie movie.
Exactly.
Here's my problem, and I know people are going to go, but Corey, you like the Avengers and Thor and Iron Man. Well, you know what? At least the Avengers tries to give you an explanation.
Yeah.
Okay? Zombies. Now, this is probably doesn't apply to Michigan because we're now in December, and it's like 50 degrees outside.
Okay.
We don't have winter anymore.
We have winter.
Seriously, is it snowed?
It's been in the 20s overnight
okay.
for weeks here.
But it has not gotten that cold.
No, but I mean, it's early winter.
There's barely been any snow.
It's not even officially winter on the calendar.
There was a kiss of snow.
Okay.
But anyway, zombies would all vanish from the earth with the first hard snow.
If the ground was frozen, they couldn't get out of the ground. Yeah, I can't
well,
say. Yeah.
Biological material, even if it's magical, possessed biological material or whatever,
right.
can't resist hold up to the cold. They'd break.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought people freeze, like cryogenically freeze
things. I'm just saying they would. These zombies apparently don't really need to eat brains to live. All my problems with zombie shows are scientific and issues. With the explanation about
I'm going to take the leap of faith on this one. So.
They got one guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, no spoilers here.
No spoilers.
But one of the guys, he's a bad guy, has his daughter chained up. Spoiler.
Sure.
I ruined something, but fine.
Spoiler, yes.
His daughter got zombified.
Yeah.
And he's got her chained up because he was, I think, trying to find a cure.
Yeah.
For the zombification.
Okay.
And does he, like, throw her meat occasionally, or what does he do?
I'm not sure what that's something I didn't, again, that's the new villain sort of thing that I thought was maybe a little bit of a mistake on this season.
He's got her chained up.
It's based on a comic and the guy's in the comic.
Well,
so
don't really follow the comic closely, but they follow it in the broader sense.
In the broader sense, yeah. They're in a prison and then there's this other town.
The characters come from the comics. They don't follow issue for issue about details. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I'll tell you what. I liked Walking Dead a lot better this year.
So you've actually been watching it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it made my maybe runner-up list.
Okay.
It's probably just... It's on my... I got it written down here.
Sure.
But I don't know if I can put it in the top 10. I put it maybe 11. It's a lot better. It is cool. Yeah, when they took the prison, that was great.
Yeah. Lots of zombies on this. Good job with that.
And the show is really unmerciful and not afraid to dispose of characters that you would not think are going to get killed.
Sure.
I mean, obviously the lead guy, Andrew Lincoln, is probably
they could kill him too.
Yeah, they could, I guess.
Last year they got rid of the second male lead.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid
Although,
of him. So
far I think all the stuff's been in the comics that they've done. But anyway. Walking Dead's real good. It's very close to great.
All right, Walking Dead was number 5. Well, let's go. We'll jump over to your list. Back to you. Got to give us a number 4 because you gave us Parks and Rec at 5.
All right, my number 4. I'm going to go with a little different choice here. I'm going to go with 30 for 30 on ESPN.
30 for 30,
which is a series of documentaries.
Yeah.
That also sometimes falls under the title of ESPN films.
Right. I would say you could pick one out and put it in your movies, but whatever. It's fine. It is a series.
It's a series
of movies.
Documentaries.
So, yeah.
They're great, man. I mean, they're not, obviously the problem with this is that they're directed by different people.
Yeah.
They do vary, in your interest level with them.
Yeah.
Two of my favorites, I think technically one came out in December, 2011. That's almost 2012. The Marinovich Project Todd Marinovich.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay.
About his dad was a linebacker and like trained him to be the ultimate quarterback and the kid's head broke.
Yeah.
And he started doing coke. Roll Tide, War Eagle, about the Alabama and Auburn University fight. I don't even...
That, of Corey, that must have been the greatest thing ever.
No,
you hate that shit with a passion.
Here's the thing. I hate the South.
Yeah.
It's generally understood that I am not a fan of the South, and I've spent a lot of time in the South. So if you're in the South and you listen to the show, and we've never really gotten any feedback from the South, so y'all can do because I'm from Hollywood. No, fine. Look, down there, Memphis, Tennessee. Look, I hate the South because the South, to me, speaks of ignorance in American life. And look how they voted reflectively red for the last since Carter. Fuck you. Look, but back to the point is, I could care less about Alabama or Auburn.
Right.
I've never had any affinity for those particular schools in my life. But this documentary about the rivalry and the sports talk radio guy that has to field all these calls from these crazy people and the lengths that these people go to, including up to a fan of Alabama poisoning the trees at Auburn, these like iconic oak trees that they have that are like 200 years old. And this guy went and poisoned the trees. It's great stuff. It was really compelling about just all about the history of the state and how that was all they really had and how it drove them. Another great college football one was about Ole Miss that just aired recently.
Yeah.
About basically, you know, the year Ole Miss went undefeated was the same year that the National Guard had to come in and forcibly integrate, you know, the campus.
Yeah, sure. Well, those documentary guys love nothing more than the contrast of the playing field to the real world. And
but this was really good.
Okay,
this was really
compelling.
Because the team felt like basically they were overlooked.
Yeah.
Because there was, you know, this mass, you know, Kennedy had to order in the National Guard to forcibly integrate the school and the, you know, the first black student and what he went through. It's really good stuff. Okay. And then they talk about the guys now who are like, well, God, well, can't we have the Dixie flag?
Yeah.
Like, they're still bummed out that they can't have the Dixie flag at their Ole Miss games. And, like, the whole identity of that school is based on the Civil War and this old.
Yeah, great Ole stuff. Miss. And by the way, the season, I believe it's the first run of 30 for 30, which I believe is 30 films. Isn't that the way they did? Now they're... This is the second... The whole first run is on Netflix. If you subscribe to Netflix, the whole first run of 30 for 30 is on there. Watch some of those. But from this season, the one called Broke about
how
athletes lost all their money, I watched, and it was great. So I agree with you.
Those are good. Right, so check out the 30 for 30.
There you go. Let me give you a number four here. Again, we're back into the non-scripted world. My highest rated non-scripted show... And now this is a show that everyone told me, and if you read any press anywhere, says you have to watch the show if you're a guy. Every guy loves this show. And for years I went like, you know, fuck that shit. I don't care about that. It sounds boring. I don't give two shits. One day, I don't know if I was sick in bed or what happened, I turned on my Netflix. I said, I got nothing to watch. There's 17 seasons of this fucking thing. Let me watch one. Actually, you know what I did? I watched the American remake once, and that was okay. And then I said, let me just watch one of these. I got 17 seasons worth. Maybe I'll like it. But Top Gear is fucking fantastic. I fucking got into Top Gear. As much as I would have screamed from the highest mountaintop, fuck that shit. I don't care about those guys. It's a fantastic show. Now, here's the difference. Because when I described Top Gear, I was hanging out with John Tenney the other night, right? And John, I was telling him we were doing these shows, and he goes, well, what top TV show should I be watching? I go, you ever see Top Gear? And he goes, no. And he goes, describe it. I said, well, there's these three British guys, and they drive cars around, and they talk about them. And he goes, that sounds awful. I go, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's fantastic? I said, the guys are funny. The guys all have unique personalities. And then the way they produce these car segments is amazing. It's like this show has the best production value of any television show on. I mean, even better than, like, your HBO scripted stuff. This stuff on here is, like, it looks like they spend $1 million an episode getting shots of a car, like, driving down a track. And it really is amazing. It's fantastic. And then when they do this higher concept stuff, like I was explaining, they do challenges where, you know, the guys will drive bulldozers and see who can move the most stuff. And they do it. And that sort of has, like, almost a Mythbusters quality to it.
Yeah.
Like a scientific sort of, I bet you can't do this in a car stuff. And that stuff is really funny and interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just great. Have you ever seen it or you watch it?
I've watched Top Gear and other friends of ours, including Pete Peterson, which was the aforementioned on last week's show with John Tenney.
Peterson. Okay.
Smoky Pete.
Yeah.
Who doesn't smoke anymore. But anyway, he's a big fan of Top Gear.
Okay.
And he loves that show. I like it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a car guy.
Sure.
At the bottom of it, I like cars to an extent.
Yeah.
Alonzo Bowden has a show called 100 Cars You Must Drive.
Yeah.
And I'll watch one of those from time to time. That's, I'm sure it's he's done them all, and those are all reruns.
Right? Yeah.
Those are kind of interesting to me. I'm just in this weird nether region where...
But I feel like this is the show...
sort of like Cars.
I feel like that is more hardcore Car than Top Gear is. Even though Top Gear is incredibly hardcore, they make it appeal to you in a way that they don't review dumb cars. They review, like, muscle cars or really fast supercars or cars with great technology built into them.
Actually, honestly, I'm less interested in, like, the new... When they go, this is the new supercar.
Yeah, right.
And it's the new Ferrari.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, a Maybach.
Yeah.
Or it's whatever the crazy high-end cars are, I'm less excited, Maserati, whatever
it is. What's great about when they review those is they'll take them out and they'll go, you know, this isn't that good. This isn't worth your 300,000 pounds, you know? And so I feel like Top Gear, and the granted, those segments, that usually the opening of the show is a car review. And those are not the most interesting subjects, but visually, it's amazing looking. And then I don't know. I just think what the way they've done it, and apparently if you're in Britain, and it's Sunday night, it's like Top Gear night.
It's
guys just sit around, and that's what, and everyone, all the kids go to school, and they talk about what was on Top Gear.
I've watched the American show too, and the American show to me doesn't seem that bad.
No, it's very competent.
Seems fairly like what's his name, Adam.
Adam Ferrara, the comedian.
Adam Ferrara, who's a comic, and who's always, he was always like sidekicky in a lot of stuff.
He's like a Boston guy.
He was on The Job with Dennis Leary, which was a great show. That show's not bad. I remember they did one where they were like, is it quicker to fly from LA to Vegas than it is to drive?
Okay.
And the driving guy just lost slightly.
Yeah.
Like it was that there wasn't that there was like a 20-minute difference between the two.
Yeah, it's
so they do things like that. It's interesting. It's not a show I go, gotta watch me some Top Gear. If it's on, if I can find it, if it's around.
But that's
I
the
might
thing.
Watch it.
Having it on Netflix is great because like I don't even know if I've seen a Top Gear from this year. Yeah. I think I have. I think season 17 was, you know, they do like two seasons a year with those, I think. But man, I love it. And here's the difference between the American and the British one, though. It's about the personalities. The British guys are better than the guys on the American show.
Yeah.
There's Top Gears, I think, in every country now. But the British guys are great because the one guy, like James May, is, and they make fun of him because he's slow. He's just a real, like, doesn't get too excited about anything.
Yeah.
Sort of real slow, sort of British. Yeah, great show.
It's a good show, just not one that's ever excited me.
Well,
I did like the one where they were driving like Chinese and Russian cars.
Yeah,
they were driving like communist cars, and the car was like breaking apart.
Oh yeah, they did a thing where they went. They're like, we're gonna fly. I forget if they didn't know where they were going. They said, don't tell us where we're going, and they flew them into Iraq, and they had to drive out of Iraq.
Okay, that's funny.
In like convertible Mercedes, they all picked like a convertible car, and they all drove out of Iraq. They did a thing where they said. They did a thing. Now, 60 Minutes profiled him, and I never saw this actual episode because there's, like I said, there's so many. They're on Netflix. They took him to America, and they said, you know, you have to drive. I forget what the challenge was in America, but they were driving from Florida.
Drive through Texas.
Drive through
rainbow
somewhere.
Flags.
And they said, there's a bonus if you guys get shot at. So they wrote, country and Western music is rubbish, and, you know, NASCAR is for gays on the side of, like, their truck. And they pulled into a gas station.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the guys called his buddies, and like pickup trucks full of hillbillies in the back showed up and were like threatening to kill him. It was fantastic. So they do a lot of stuff on there that is, you know, they get drunk. They've driven drunk on that show.
Sure.
And it's if you watch a Top Gear.
I suppose if you like Mythbusters.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. Yeah, you get the challenges of motor vehicles. Well, that's the thing. Shipping Wars, too, I was saying. I like just watching guys try to do these crazy drives. Yeah. And that's a lot of what Top Gear is.
You know
too.
What's weird for me, and this is just my personal thing. I'm less interested when it's you know, the what's the Bugatti, you know, when it's some
the Bugattis,
car,
they're
when
yeah,
it's
supercar,
the absurd fantasy
the
cars,
world's most expensive
and
car.
They got a guy that comes and races them on the track, and he never talks. He's
in
like a
the Stig
driver uniform.
Yeah.
That part of the show doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
But when they do like,
right,
is this station wagon faster than this station wagon? That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
For some reason, I like the lower end.
Well,
car,
they do when they do specials. They don't have all those Stig racing segments in them. They're just more like movie documentaries about their challenges, And they do those like twice a year, and then they do their regular episodic shows. Yeah. All right, I think I can give another one because I've knocked so many off your list. Let me give my number three here. But my number three best TV show of 2012 is Homeland on Showtime. It was my number two show last year, and it's really been, I think, every bit as good. I know a lot of this show has found an audience.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, I guess it is now Showtime's number one show, which is good. And you have not watched Homeland,
right? I haven't seen 1 second.
Yeah, see, you don't have Showtime, and that's probably part of the thing. Yeah, Homeland was real good. I mean, this is a show, and I hate to be this guy, but if you were going to watch Homeland, you really do kind of got to go back and watch it from season one, episode one. So when I recommend it, I go, if you're not in it for that, then I wouldn't say watch the Homeland that's on this week, because I don't think you're going to enjoy it very much. I think you need to see the show from the beginning. It's by the guys who made 24, and it has those elements of, you know, week to week, day to day, what's going on in this search for. We may have spies here in America, Corey. We may have.
Oh, there you go.
The jihadists have gotten into America.
All right.
And we're going to find them.
I don't watch Homeland,
and
but
Claire Danes does a great job. She's all the acting is superb. The actors on the show, probably the best on TV. Really, really good stuff.
I don't watch Homeland.
You don't.
And yet Saturday Night Live did a parody of Homeland.
Yeah.
And I got all of the jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen Homeland without seeing it.
By the way, they didn't do a very good job. I saw the SNL thing, and I thought they actually didn't do a great job of the characters.
Well, SNL underperforming.
I felt like they sort of missed some other things on the show that were funny. It was okay. Claire Danes does sort
what
of
I've
do this
heard now,
sad face.
Howard was
thing.
Complaining about this.
Oh, Howard's got, well.
And what I've heard about Homeland is that it's getting farther from reality.
There's a little bit of that, yeah.
And the problem is, to me, it's a terrorist show.
Yeah.
And the terrorists are going to have to overperform. The terrorists are going to have to do shit that the real terrorists aren't capable of doing to make it scary.
Yeah, that's happened. Well, first of all, 9/11, you couldn't believe if it was Tom Clancy wrote a book. I forget, was it Sum of All Fears? It wasn't Sum of All Fears. Maybe it was.
The nukes, yeah.
Where a guy flew a plane into the Capitol.
Right.
And he, it was while the president was giving a State of the Union, and it killed everybody, and then Jack Ryan becomes the president. No one believed that story. Do you know that
is
book
that,
existed?
That's a time.
I only heard the audiobook. I listened to the audiobook when I was driving to New York City when I was going to college there.
God.
That was the thing. And this was in 94, 95 that book came out. And so no one. And I remember listening to that. And my buddy Pat went to New York with me, and he goes, no fucking terrorist is going to fly a fucking plane into a building to kill people. What the fuck kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah.
And then it came true. So in a way, 9/11 was more. 9/11 was crazier than anything they've done on Homeland. But you're right about they are doing stuff on Homeland where, like they're killing. They've killed, without spoiling, they've killed members of the presidential administration,
yes.
Which hasn't happened in real life. So,
well, 24 got ridiculous, too, yeah. Where they were. Jack was pulling guns on the president, and the president was hitting guys in the back of the head with pipes. And
yeah,
stuff.
I never saw 24. And
24 was kind of ridiculously soap opera like, and so I enjoyed it on that level.
Yeah,
this show is supposed to be sort of highly respected, and
it has elements of that. It's not gripping realism. There is a little element of it does go into a little bit of Tom Clancy area from time to time, but just a little.
Let me ask
yes.
Claire Danes banging people on this show?
She's banging guys right and left.
Are you seeing anything? They throw that little ass
you see
there?
Her ass, I think, and that's about all you see.
Well, Claire Danes is an ass girl.
Yeah,
I mean,
she is.
Some
I don't know what you'd even see if she took her top off.
But
I don't even know what's
you'd
there.
You'd see a rumor. See, the problem is that some women.
Is that a shadow or a nipple? I can't
some
tell.
Some women
yeah.
are like. Ass and pussy girls. Like,
yeah,
they have really beautiful vaginas.
I'm sure her vagina is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I have every confidence in her vagina. But they're unfortunately, they don't have tits.
No.
And then some girls are all tit.
Well, yeah. Well, you know who's naked all the time? Is Marina Baccarin, who was the alien leader on V.
Yeah.
And she was on, Firefly or some show like that? This broad.
Top-notch talent.
She was naked in season one all the time. Season two, her boobies retired for like the first 8 episodes, and then bam, they came flying right back in, and she's awesome.
She's quality talent, though.
She's really, really hot.
Quality.
And and just the actors on this. I mean, Mandy Patinkin, great. The black guy who's the FBI guy, I don't even know what he's
from. The black guy.
He's fantastic.
You know the black, the one.
That guy's great. Everybody's good on this show. It's a great show. So, Homeland. It is getting a little silly. I think the one, two episodes ago, people went like that was their jump the shark moment. Whatever. I don't know. I still like it. It's still great. Homeland, my number.
Abu Nazir is everywhere. Three He's
show.
Lurking in the
Give me a number three show. Oh, actually, that was your Shark Tank.
Shark Tank was my number
Give me
three.
A number
you,
two
you really
show.
Blow out my list.
Right? I know. I'm sorry. Give me a two.
I'm going to give you my number two show.
We might have the top one and two. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, my number two show, and it's I don't know. Boy, I could really go either way on this.
You can't decide which is one and which is two.
Yeah. All right, my number two show, and it stays where it's been for a long time, Mad Men.
Continue
to be good.
I'm shocked.
Continue to be solid.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Stop the press. It's Mad Men.
It's a great show.
Really?
It's just a fine show.
I thought Mad Men stopped being good, and I heard that from you. I heard that from my girlfriend who loves Mad Men, but I heard
they
it was
redeemed
no
themselves a little bit.
Okay. I never seen a Mad Men, so okay. I don't know. But you go
All
ahead.
Right. The problem with Mad Men is that, well, they're getting out of their original time frame.
Yeah.
The show originally was
it's 1987 on Mad Men.
Well, now they're into 66.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then they come back, it's going to be 68, and Bobby Kennedy's going to be getting his brains blown out. And you're like, it's not, you know what I mean? The 60s were so radical a time period, and I know that's what the show's kind of about, but the great thing that I think people loved about Mad Men was how weird 1960 seems to modern perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So once you get into the point where the world starts to look a little more modern, or even, you know, just things change radically.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it this way. Look at where we are now in America about gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If we did a show from 1986, people would go, what the hell are you talking
right.
about gay marriage?
Well, I remember this in school vividly and coming up more, probably every year this would come up in social studies. Will we ever have a black president?
Sure.
This would come up every year as a kid. And the teacher would say this.
No.
Well, you know, it's probably going to take a really long time for that. You know what I mean? It's now when you think about it, it's sort of a silly argument. But
well,
it did take a really long time. But at the same time, it's because, you know, whatever. But I mean, that came up and that seemed like that would never happen.
Yeah.
You know,
just I think the things that people liked about Mad Men when they're all drinking in the office and smoking in elevators. And all the sort of things they did that seemed weird to us because it was from that other world. The longer the show goes on, the less they're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. But they're going to get into the late 60s and the 70s, probably, presumably.
Yeah.
And that's a different era, too. Yeah. And that's cool. Show's still really good.
Is there a timeline for that ending? Have they said anything? Did they say
I think he said it's going to be season... What are they now? They're on season 5 or 6?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's going to be season 7, I think, the last season of Mad Men. Still good. The ending of this year's, the last episode, was phenomenal.
Okay.
Really brilliant television.
Huh. Yeah, because I heard a lot of people jumped off that boat.
Well,
but,
people will do that.
You know, you're not one of them.
Nope.
And by the way, those are all on, I think everything up until even the most recent ones are all on Netflix for Mad Men, if you want to catch those. And I know I think the first two seasons of Walking Dead are up there as well. So, and all the Top Gears. That I mentioned earlier on Netflix, just so people can have a chance to see these. Let me give you my number two show of 2011. This was last year's number one show. Yeah, in fact, I should mention, Homeland was last year's number two show. My number two show was last year's number one show, and that is Boardwalk Empire on HBO.
Okay.
That is my number two show of 2012. And you know what? Boardwalk Empire didn't do anything wrong to fall from number one. It's still great. One thing they did do is it became a little more gangstery. In the sense that the main character, Nucky Thompson, is no longer a politician. He's just a straight gangster now. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy who was trying to have this artifice of a normal life,
right.
And I'm in public office. Now he's a straight gangster. And they also introduced a new villain, which, again, sometimes that doesn't work on shows. But they got Bobby Cannavale to play this guy, Jip Rossetti, who really is really the sleaziest, slimiest Dago you'll ever want to see. I mean, I'm almost ashamed to be Italian when I talk about Jip Rossetti. I mean, I go, my people don't behave that way. How could they? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you like, you know, and the thing about this season even more than the other ones is there was a little less of, you know, 20s culture seeping into it, where, you know, they would see, you know, Houdini's brother Hardeen one night, and then there was sort of, you know, it was a Jack Dempsey fight tonight. They almost got rid of a lot of that stuff, where I know Mad Men likes to sort of weave the real life things that were going on at the time. They kind of got rid of that a little bit in Boardwalk Empire, but they brought in more machine gunning, more beating the shit out of guys, more whacking dudes.
And that's my problem with Boardwalk Empire.
But you know what? To me, this show does that stuff. You know, if you love Goodfellas and Sopranos and all that stuff, this show does it all every bit as good as those things. And it has that 20s look that everything has. And it does have the real life gangsters. I mean, you know, Lucky Luciano and Al Capone are in this, Meyer Lansky. So there are the real life gangsters that come and go in this. And by the way, the Al Capone app, did you see the one with the Al Capone? It was mainly about him. And he beats up the guy.
Yeah, I watched this season.
Might have been the best episode I saw of anything all year. That, and because he's with his kid at the end. That was the greatest episode I think I've ever seen all year of any show. Fantastic. So Boardwalk Empire is still great.
I think part of the...
Love it.
Now, Boardwalk Empire was just off my list.
Okay.
I did like it.
Yeah.
It's a good show. I was also resistant to that for a while. I didn't have HBO the first season.
Yeah.
Now I do.
And you can watch Boardwalk Empire without knowing the whole backstory, but it's better if you do. But unlike Homeland, I think you can watch one Boardwalk Empire, and it will stand on its own as a good show. I don't know. Like, how was Mad Men? Can you watch one Mad Men or not really? Will it hold up? Will it work for you? Or
you could like come in the middle of, you could start a season.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but it does. I think you could watch one episode.
You could
of
watch
Mad
one
Men,
and enjoy it.
But I think it's going to be richer for you if you know the history of the characters and all the stuff that they pulled. I think that's and Mad Men is the show where they don't explicitly ever really go and state, remember that time that you told Duck to go piss up a rope? Like, you just kind of know it from watching the show. There's a history there that's implied.
Yeah.
And I think any great show does that.
Yeah.
So my problem with Boardwalk Empire, which I do think is a good show overall, and my problem with The Sopranos to a certain extent, not every single week, even if you're a mobster, if you and I were in the mob,
sure,
would we kill a guy every day?
Yeah, I mean,
would you shoot a guy?
I wouldn't,
day?
But I think the thing about this is that there's multiple gangs, and so the whacking isn't always the same guy doing the whacking every time.
Speaking of whacking, let me talk about they got some hot broads on that show.
Oh yeah, tons of tits on this. The girl that played Nucky's new girlfriend on this,
she was hot.
She's the cutest thing you'll ever see.
That's another ass.
That
one,
might
that's
be,
another one.
Oh, because she has little boobies.
I think her ass is better.
I don't. What's her name?
Because Claire Danes is like the absence of tits.
Yeah.
But she's got a world-class ass. I mean, Claire Danes' dumper is a masterpiece.
Yes.
So if her ass is out, Netflix some.
I mean, it's not
Homeland.
It's not a lot of ass, but it's there. Yeah.
I have this. I think I didn't watch Homeland because I have this sort of instinctual reflection when something's really popular and everybody's blogging about it and everybody's talking about it on Facebook that I go,
yeah,
and I don't want to do it. Now, Mad Men, I jumped in on and got in.
Sure.
On,
see
on the ground floor, but yeah.
Well,
what is her name?
There's 79 fucking thousand people on this show.
Yeah, I know. There's a million people.
I think you might have to go right to like season three. Okay,
I also liked Michael Shannon, and they kind of wrote him out of the show.
He wasn't in it as much this season.
But
he had a great thing where he beat a guy with an iron. He burned a guy with an iron.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a great scene. Anyway.
Well, and they had him selling vacuum cleaners.
He was selling irons. Yeah, that's what. And then he,
but I liked Michael Shannon, and they took his character
I'll never
away.
Find
yeah,
this broad.
There's a lot of
maybe
them.
I can find the episode. By episodes.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great.
Yeah, this is great radio. Keep talking about my show. Oh, do you want to? Well, we're almost to your number one here, so maybe we can.
But, you know, Boardwalk Empire is good stuff. It's a good show. I like Jack Houston is obviously great on that show.
Sure. Jack Houston plays the man with half a face who's an assassin.
The blown off face guy.
Yeah, Mr. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name.
Richard Harrow.
Richard Harrow. Like, I don't have the cast of Boardwalk Empire. I can't find this chick's name that's on the damn
all right, good times.
Boardwalk. But she
now,
is, she's
actually, I like Kelly MacDonald on there, and I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of fans grumble.
I get
that
the grumble
when her
comes
character
from.
Shows up that they want to turn it off.
This season was all about women's issues, and she wanted to have a sexual education thing
and
for
was
women.
The hospital and
there's
thing.
And she gave a bunch of money to the hospital. And her character is sort of a down. You just want to see guys, but you know what? They got rid of her for like a whole like episode.
Right. Now
and they just let the guys kill each other, and it was great.
On Mad Men. Don's ex-wife and now his current wife, but his ex-wife Betty is very divisive. In that when it's an episode about Betty, probably because people think January Jones isn't a good actress.
Sure.
When it's an episode about Betty, the people revolt. I mean, the bloggers.
The Bettys are bad.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the same thing with Kelly MacDonald on Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. If it's about her, well, it's like a Marge episode on
yeah, Marge Simpsons.
When Margaret on Boardwalk Empire starts talking, people freak out.
Sure.
I think she's pretty good. I like the show overall. I think the Gretchen Mol, that's the other one that's on.
Yeah, she's naked a lot. I like it.
I think it's the, are you thinking about, what is it? What was that chick's name? I'll tell you what.
But she's like, I looked her up in the past and she's been in nothing. So
I bet you'll
I mean?
Find her on Mr. Skin faster than
you'll
find her on
IMDb. I'm just looking up Nucky's girlfriend. On Boardwalk Season 3 here.
Amazing skills. We need a producer, I swear to God.
Meg Steedle is the actress's name.
Yeah, good job.
Her character is Billy Kent.
All right.
So look up Meg Steedle if you want to see some. But, I mean, she's like a total flapper on this.
She's a flapper already.
If you're not into that, I mean, here's her. There she is in her character.
It's very cute.
And then... let me just find the real. But I mean, there's the real chick today, and she's super hot too.
Sure,
so
sure.
I don't know why did this jump to that guy's Tumblr. I don't know. Well, here she is naked on Boardwalk Empire.
Everybody's Tumblr and Instagram.
Yeah, everything's. Tumblr is blowing up here. I don't know.
God, do I hate Instagram? It's really the worst.
Oh no, here she is topless, Corey. There you go.
Whip him out.
There you go. It is right there.
I think again, she's a
bam.
She's a butt girl.
Why does this jump right to? The
I don't
Tumblr
know why the thing
page,
and the webs and the internet. Oi, and the thing.
I just want a picture that's not from Tumblr.
I gotta see
a naked woman.
I gotta see somebody's handcrafted, you know, artisanal pickles.
By the way, Tumblr. Let me just break down what Tumblr is all about.
Uh-huh.
It's 95% pornography at this point.
Those are nice.
And I know people have, you know.
Those are nice little ones.
Yeah, she's nice. But she's got a real cute face.
The great thing about Tumblr is that you think some girl you know is eventually going to slip up and let her Tumblr password out there. And all the stuff pics, you know, all the nude pics she took of herself is going to be on there.
That's here she is. Just look at this. That's today. Look at
she's
that.
She's cute.
Ay, ay, ay.
All right.
Hi.
Boardwalk Empire did not make my list.
It did. Well, you got to give you time for your number one, Corey. Now,
I don't have Showtime, so Dexter. I know it's gone in the toilet a little bit.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Okay. I used to love Dexter, but people are like, how many guys can you kill? Yeah. That's the problem with Dexter. How many serial killers can the Miami-Dade County area support? The number one
number
show.
One. And I wish I had a, you know, I don't have a drum roll.
Number one show, new show this year.
New show this year.
Might have debuted last fall.
Okay.
But it was on this year. Girls.
But Corey, that is my number one show as well. There you go. Look at us. Look at us.
We're a couple of sissies.
First of all, I can't believe that you picked that. I thought that would make your top 10. Because look, I did have something else queued up though for girls.
Did you?
Well, but I assumed you would have had that in your top 10, but not number one.
Well,
because you would have felt like here's some music from Girls for everybody. But you know, I thought that would be too hipstery even for you, Corey.
I liked it.
So did I. That's just, you know, that was on one of the episodes. There's a lot of, Now, people that don't watch Girls are going, what the fuck are you playing?
Who is this?
This is The Vaccine. You know, they do a lot of, this one was, this was their.
Now we've immediately gone to the soundtrack.
That was one of the, they do, they don't really have a theme song, so they use a different, like, song. That's Sleigh Bell. But anyway, all right. All right, so talk about Girls. And since you're now, it's actually my, we didn't plan this out either.
No. We intentionally don't tell each other
your
list.
Girls was on my list when I made my top TV, like, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay? Girls was probably my number six. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched all of season one again, and it jumped up to my number one. So
I'll tell you what, and I know that I'm already hearing, boy, if PJ was still listening to this show,
please.
We'd get a phone call.
He's going to give us both a knuckle sandwich,
about
PJ.
What a couple of fags we are. I'm sure that we're going to hear that. And you guys have lost it. You know what? Let's just call this show Jump the Shark.
No, they're all going to say we're fags. No.
I think it's a great show.
I can defend girls eight ways to Sunday. So if anyone wants to bring anything to it, we need a hater on here to just defend our position.
I'll tell you what. Here's what it is about girls. Yeah. And it's more fun when we disagree on shows. But
absolutely.
Like, you know, why you wet your knob over Top Gear or Survivor, I have no idea. But look, Top Gear is better than Survivor. But girls, I hated with a wild, fiery passion in the first couple episodes.
Okay.
I initially was sort of repelled. It was so insider. It was so hipster.
Yeah.
It was so fucking Upper East Side, like so village bullshitty fucking
Brooklyn, yeah.
Williamsburg, you know. Yeah, it was this total like hipstery New York shit. It was all, you know, Astoria, Queens, Williamsburg bullshit. I had an immediate revulsion to it. The first like two episodes, I wanted to crawl out of my skin.
Okay.
And then it came back for the third.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm starting to feel it. I'm getting into the show. And then it's really funny in a dark, perverse way.
Yeah.
When she's getting banged left and right by this guy that's a complete goon.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's just the filthiest stuff on TV. I mean,
they did do some of the wackiest nude scenes you'll ever see anywhere.
Yeah, he's banging her and he's like, you know, I'm going to come on you and send you back to your parents. I mean, just spectacular stuff. Lena Dunham's very fearless and looking dumpy. I mean, she looks like a bar.
She's like
a bar of soap with legs.
Well, she's, you know, she's the writer, directed most of the episodes. Yeah,
it's her show.
And she is. But you know, here's the thing: people dump on her, and then I go like, I thought people wanted regular looking girls on television.
Absolutely.
And then everyone dumps on her because she's the one doing all the nudity, and you see her fat ass and her pointy little tits, and people go like, you know, well, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. Why are you naked? It's like, well, isn't that what you wanted? I mean, maybe they just didn't want her naked. I don't know.
People are here's the horrible thing about people.
Yeah,
people don't want they want attractive people on television.
Yeah,
because television is where people go to not be themselves.
Uh huh.
So the problem with a show like Girls, they don't want to see real looking people.
Yeah.
Now I'm frustrated that Brian Williams' daughter has not taken her clothes off.
She banged a guy with her bra on where you saw a lot of her boobs.
Right.
She masturbated and she made out with a girl on the show. So that's all pretty good stuff.
No, it's good, but whip those out.
Yeah, okay, now, all right.
Here's the problem I have.
Corey's wish list for season two of Girls.
Well, you know,
Allison Williams
Sex and the City that people always talk about, and now they compare it to this show.
Yeah.
And I don't think those comparisons hold.
They even made the reference in the first episode of Girls where they said, I'm like, you know, the one girl was like, well, I'm like this someday. I'm a Carrie one day, and then I'm a Miranda.
No, the thing is, it's a totally different show than Sex and the City, so don't get in there. But on Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker would never take her top off.
Uh-huh.
She was the star of the show.
Yeah.
She'd go to extreme lengths to have sex with people in a nightie.
Right.
She's supposed to be this hot piece of tail, and she was never naked, apparently, at any point.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, Kim Cattrall was never clothed. She did the sleight of hand where they're like, hey, Kim Cattrall's not going to put on clothes for the entire series. And then the other ones got away with a little tiny bit of nudity.
Yeah.
Well, actually, sometimes the redhead would get naked.
Uh-huh.
But then I think Kristen Davis did one topless scene.
Kristen Davis did it once. The redhead did it twice. And the other one was naked every minute.
Yeah. So they fool you with this. So now Lena Dunham is the lead. She's like, I'm naked all the time. And you're like, please put your clothes on, sweetheart. And then the other hotter girls in the show.
Yeah.
You want to see them naked.
Yeah.
And we've yet to really get a complete.
Right.
Although Zosia Mamet, who I'm disturbed that I'm attracted to because she's David Mamet's daughter.
Right.
And she's got kind of wacky eyebrows, but I think she's cute in a funky way.
Her mom was famous. You got to look up her mom because she looks like a younger version of her mom. And your mom you would know from a million movies. But she was like in the 80s and stuff. Like you would know her from a million movies. And she actually facially looks exactly like her mom, just, you know, way younger.
Okay.
And she's cute too. No, I like Zosia Mamet.
Well, as we know,
we've seen her like bottomless, but like not spread, sort of. Is that safe to say?
We got close, but
well,
we
there
did
was
not
a guy
see
down right in that.
Sure.
Right
sure,
in the box. Sure. I mean, right in the.
I think she might
it
have the Brazilian situation, so there was no pubic
yeah,
hair
there
to
was
see
no. Yeah, it was very.
It was very close to exciting.
Yeah.
What? But enough about the nudity on the show because we sound like gross old men, which we are. I think it's just a really fun, well-written show. At in the last couple episodes, they brought in Chris O'Dowd, who's a very funny guy.
Right.
Who was in, he was in Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And he was on the show, The IT Crowd.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen him in a lot of things. He's now in, he's in This Is 40.
Okay.
So anyway, Chris O'Dowd, very funny guy. He brought him in and he had a hilarious episode where they had attempted to have a threesome.
Yeah, that was great. That was a good episode.
It's a good show, man. And the guy, here's what's great about that show. The guy that I hated, I've grown to like. The Adam, the boyfriend on that.
Oh, Adam? Oh, Adam's great.
Yeah.
The boyfriend you're not supposed to like is Charlie. Me and Corey are now fully in high heels and we're holding purses. Charlie's the dick. Charlie's the guy you're not supposed to like.
Adam was supposed to
have won you over.
I thought Charlie was kind of a mush.
Charlie is a mush, but he ran out and got a girlfriend right away. And so Charlie, you're not supposed to like.
Okay.
Because he broke her heart. He broke Allison Williams.
I gotcha.
Marnie's
heart. You know, I find that I can't care about Marnie because she's kind of an uppity bitch.
She is. Well, that's her character. But she plays it well. I mean, that's the thing. All the acting's real good on this show. And even for Lena Dunham. And by the way, Lena Dunham made a movie called Tiny Furniture a few years ago.
Which is exactly like a pilot for this.
And, you know, it was like an indie thing. And people kind of loved. Some people loved it. Some people hated it.
I like Tiny Furniture.
I went back and watched. I only saw Tiny Furniture after I had already seen probably half the season of Girls. Tiny Furniture is not very good. There's really no, if you're a fan of Girls, I don't think there's any reason to really. I think you will only be disappointed in Tiny Furniture if you see it after Girls, because it's got a lot of the same cast in it, and it's just not anywhere as tightly wound.
Right.
And the character development.
Well, the difference is that Girls has to be a half hour show.
And it does, but there's just Lena Dunham's acting is way better in Girls. And I give a lot of credit, and I actually it was only after my second watching of the season that I really think that Judd Apatow deserves a lot of credit on this. And here's why. Because I really thought about Girls and going, well, isn't that just, didn't Judd Apatow make two coming-of-age television shows already that people loved? I mean, they weren't big commercial hits, but, Freaks and Geeks, everyone knows. Undeclared, everyone knows. He made a lot of those coming-of-age comedies. And I'm like, well, this is really more keeping in with that than it is Sex and the City to me. You know, I feel like this is more of Freaks and Geeks in Brooklyn with young girls, or more of, more of like Superbad with chicks. But it's also more real than those things, too. I feel like it's,
I'll tell you what, it feels very real. It's about people in their early 20s, which are, of course, annoying people. But when you get old, what's really, what's annoying, most annoying about Girls is we're now a good 10 years out of the age frame of those people.
Right.
10 to 15.
But we have 15, probably.
They're what, like 23 to 25, something like that?
Right.
So I'm a good,
Dunham is 26 for real, but I think her character is 24.
So. All right. Those people now look really annoying to you.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, you're nostalgic for that point of your life.
Well, you always, it's like, we're not 24, but we remember what it was like when we were 24.
Yeah.
And Girls is pretty much exactly what that was.
But yet
and
they're
that's
annoying.
What's great about
but
it.
But yet they're annoying to you.
But it's like we were annoying too when we were 24.
Sure, sure. It's good. It's just a really well-written, smart show.
And it's really funny. And
I will see. I have concerns.
Oh, I do too.
That in season two, this could very easily be a one season wonder.
It could be, yeah.
I think that I'm concerned about how much she has to tell us about this particular world.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like the episode where she went and basically thought that the boss was hitting on her and told him that he could, let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great stuff.
It's
and then
great.
The boss acted like, what are you talking about? it's a funny show. She's got... Speaking of Freaks and Geeks, the mom from Freaks and Geeks is on.
Okay,
And Peter Scolari is on. Yeah, who was terrific. On
they're her parents
on Newhart. But the rarely seen Peter Scolari,
bosom buddies. Peter Scolari,
right? Absolutely. Yeah, he was a big name until
this big '80s guy.
Until 1993 came around.
You were like, what happened to him? He's on Girls, and he's good on Girls. So, I mean, I think the acting's good. The thing about it too, but here's one thing that is, you say, well, I'm worried that they're gonna. The thing about it that got better as the season went along is that you started to see like Adam, the boyfriend, and the guy Ray, his buddy Ray, became fully fleshed out characters and not just stereotypes. Because Ray was the biggest dick. mm-hmm. on the show. This guy, Ray, he was the star of Tiny Furniture. He was the love interest of right. that.
Ray is this guy, Alex Karpovsky.
Yeah.
Is a big name in mumblecore.
Right, right. And he's, you know, he's sort of a modern day sort of Woody Allen, big giant Junos and stuff. But very funny, you know, New York's
weird mouth.
Yeah, kind of weird thing going on. But, you know, he was just sort of this dick, and then he falls in love. He kind of meets that girl, and he becomes real sensitive and real nice, and you sort of see that he isn't a big jerk off, and he was a good guy. And she shouldn't bang him, not to give spoilers away, but it's just there's so much about the show that's good and that gets it right. And, you know, when you think about your own relationship and some of the stuff that Lena Dunham and Adam go through, or, you know, and some of the speeches she gives about, you know, how she wants a boyfriend and all stuff, it all really, you know, is stuff that I've gone through and things mm-hmm. that, you know, or things you wish you might have said, or just, right. you know, the way that you felt at the time when somebody broke up with you or didn't love you like you love them. And it's really nice. And, you know, people who criticize this show, I wonder if people even watch it that criticize it. Because
there's a reflective we hate hipsters culture.
There is.
That goes on okay. with people.
I'm going to say this right now. This show is not a hipster show. This show is about real people. It's not hipster stuff is very surface. And while some of the fashion and the
I would
the
say hipster play, show, I'm not going to.
But no. But it's not. It's written. It just happens to be whatever is hip today.
Sure.
If this show was made in the 70s in the same way, it would have 70s stuff in it and be hip that way. But it's not the appeal of the show. That's not what makes it good. Because mm-hmm. all the hipster stuff is just the clothes they wear and the music they listen to. Everything else could have been out of, you know, Annie Hall or one of these great comedies.
Well, you know, I think that to a certain extent, though, the characters all have pretensions,
right?
That they are great artistic people.
Yeah, maybe there's
not,
some of that.
Maybe not so much Shoshana,
right?
But the other ones all think Lena Dunham, obviously. Hannah.
Hannah is a writer.
Hannah thinks she's going to write the great novel.
Right.
She thinks she's very important. The other ones think that they're going right. to be stars.
And the two guys have a band in that. But you know, when I was 20,
yeah,
how many of my friends were in bands? A lot of them.
Sure.
And there were writers. Hell, you're a fucking writer, for God's sake.
Now, that you're 40, a lot of your friends are still in bands.
Right.
But, no, I am a writer. You know, I'm a writer and a comedian, so I obviously made this choice.
Right, so.
But I think the problem with Girls is on the precipice of being obnoxious. I will see, I think it's still really funny overall.
Right.
It generally wins me over every episode with some kind of something funny or insightful. It's going to get to a point where we're going to have to really invest ourselves and care about the characters' lives.
Right.
And they're going to have to really flesh things out.
Well, yeah, this show might be best to do like 3 seasons and call it a night.
I don't know if it's going to have staying power.
Right? I mean, you know, looking at other HBO shows, like, okay, Flight of the Conchords, because HBO sort of does this where they always have a hipster comedy, because they had Flight of the Conchords, which, by the way, season one of Flight of the Conchords might be the best season of anything I've ever seen ever. Girls is between that and Girls, I couldn't decide which one I like better based on season one. Season two of Flight of the Conchords can suck my fucking dick.
Nah.
Sunday. That thing was, and look, it wasn't awful. It was just
they ran out of steam.
It just was not as good. And you're like, there's no reason for that show to exist if it's not going to be as good as it used to be.
The network wanted them to come back.
Yeah,
and they smartly on Flight of the Conchords went, we're out of ideas.
Yeah, we're done.
And you know what? That was a great decision.
I think they may end up making a movie. I think that's been talked about that they're going to do a feature. And then, you know, they had Bored to Death, which was great. And again, it was hipster Brooklyn, but this was with older guys, and it didn't have that realism that Girls has. But Bored to Death, fantastic, you know? And then Girls sort of replaced Bored to Death, because last year I had Bored to Death as my number 4 show. And they got rid of that. They said no more of that. And I think that was a casting deal.
They could keep Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah,
down
and
the farm.
Ted Danson is CSI now, and Schwartzman's doing what he's doing. So they were having a hard time with that. But then they get Girls, and I go, that was great.
Well,
another reason people pick on that is they look at Lena Dunham's background, and these actresses all have famous parents.
Sure.
And they go, well, what do they know? How could they possibly make a good show?
Right.
Your father is Brian Williams from NBC. How could you possibly be?
It's jealousy.
And there's a lot of that. And then this website Gawker just dumps on Lena Dunham constantly. They did every episode of Girls. Mm-hmm. They would refer to the characters as, you know, So then the daughter of Brian Williams goes to her boyfriend's concert, and it's like they couldn't even refer to the characters by their names. And I'm like, this is Gawker, okay, mm-hmm. which is the most hipster bullshit blog mm-hmm. you're ever going to read. If Gawker made a show, they would make girls. So it's like, why are you picking on it? I don't get it.
Gawker only exists to rip on shit.
I know, but it's like,
when does Gawker? Gawker might
then
occasionally
leave it alone.
Go,
then leave
Gawker
it alone. Might go, then don't talk about
you know,
it.
Gawker will do the go. We love Draw Something. That's the best app ever. That's like the, but, as much as they'll ever
but
like.
But why do they? I mean, why if they're
there's
somebody,
a culture now? There's another show, and by the way, I can't believe how long this thing is, and we haven't gotten to the worst yet.
I know. We're
sweet Christ, how long is this?
We've done about an hour and 40 minutes. All right, quickly, 20, because we're talking about girls for 20
minutes.
Let's
take a break. I think we've said our piece.
We'll come back with the worst of it. Okay. Anything else about, tell me about Gawker and then we'll go, because we both agree girls is great.
Gawker sucks. Look, we're punishing people with the length of these shows.
Just say it. Come on.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with our worst of the year. Play some music from Girls.
You want some music from Girls. That's what you want. All right. Well, play some music from Girls for some reason. Corey needs a break. There you go. All right, enjoy this. Corey's literally getting up. He can't take it no more. He's taken all he can take. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
To close, I am walking in my sleep, living in a state in between. Do the signs begin to show? See the eyes there in the dark as they glow.
fucking never-ending show.
It's not. All right, we're back. Corey's what?
I know you have to
I'll
edit.
Do this quick. No, I'm not editing anything. Here's what we'll
for
do.
God's sakes.
I'm going to give you the other shows I liked in 2012, and then you can give your quick list, and then we'll do the worst, and we'll do them quickly.
All right.
We got a whole year to talk about the worst.
Oh.
All right. Here's some other shows I like. NY Med was Dr. Oz's documentary about the hospital. It was on ABC in the summer. You never saw that?
God, are you a girl?
Yeah, NY Med. No, it was good. It was a documentary about real life hospital workers. Dr. Oz was only on like every third episode, but I think he produced the show, and okay. It was the hospital he worked at. That was real good. The Newsroom on HBO. I know you sort of don't.
I love to hate The Newsroom.
Yeah,
it's almost good.
It's almost
it's
good.
Close
exactly.
To good.
So it didn't make my top 10. You know, MythBusters is still good. I think it was on my top 10 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with MythBusters if you like that kind of stuff. Game of Thrones slipped out of my top 10. Again, this is a show where they deliberately make it where you can't follow it.
Yeah.
Man. And, you know, they deliberately make it. And actually, but yet, the scenery and everything's great, and they behead somebody, and that's always good. So Game of Thrones is still a good show, but
been able to get into
I can't give it 10. The Killing was on again this year, did season 2. Mm-hmm. They finally tell you who killed Rosie Larson, and it seemed like most people didn't care by that point. But The Killing on AMC was sort of an experiment. I enjoyed it. Not everyone got into it as much as I did. How I Met Your Mother, I think they're kind of done with that. They haven't decided if it's coming back.
Please be done with that.
I'm still watching it, but I think I'm like 5 behind on the DVR, and that sort of shows my interest in it. Modern Family, still good, right? Sort of, you're fading on Modern Family?
I'm fading on Modern Family.
Okay, Modern Family, not as good as it used to be.
It's okay, but it's
well,
I'm losing a little
again,
interest.
I watch it every week, so it made this sort of extra list. Pawn Stars. Again,
I'm out.
You're out. You're done. Is it just too many shows at this point? For
there's 100,000 okay. episodes, and it's all the same. And I've had enough of
you know
Chumley, and I've had all of.
We already sort of talked about it, but The Office, I still watch. So I mean, it made this list as far as extra shows. Falling Skies on TNT. You know, this is like the schlockiest B science fiction you'll ever see, but it works in the same way like Walking Dead works. It's a bunch of survivors,
you know,
fighting aliens.
I kind of liked Falling.
You
Skies.
Like Falling Skies? Yeah, but it's not top 10. That's my point. It's good, but not top 10. Fringe, again, I'm still watching. It's the final season. I'm 6 or 7 behind on the DVR on
I
Fringe.
I have fallen off
you,
Fringe
but you didn't. You didn't make it through last season, did you?
No, and I loved that show at one point, and I just stopped caring.
And you know what? It should still be Monster of the Week. The overarching thing got too much for people. The show's now, by the way, and this is a minor spoiler for you, but not for anyone watching it.
No, I didn't jump to the future.
It's in the future now. So it's like, here, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in the future, it's still not going to be good. And Big Brother, I still watch. So
well,
call me a dickhead.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. All right, that's my extra best shows.
Show's terrible.
Extra best shows from Corey that are not in your top 10.
Doctor Who.
Okay.
Was a good season of Doctor
sure.
Who. That show's been good for a while.
Okay.
I think I liked the previous Doctor a little more than this one. It took me a while to warm up to him.
Only you would get this or fans, but they just added something to Netflix, which is like 30 Doctor Who's. Are there that many seasons of that or that many years of it?
Yeah, it's been going.
Yeah, like they're all on Netflix now. So I guess if I wanted to get into Doctor Who, I could, but I haven't.
It's been going for 40 years. It's been since like 64.
Yeah, then that's what they added. And I was like, I don't even know what this means, which Doctor Who's, but they were all from all different years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, has there been that many Doctor Who's?
Yeah,
I thought there were like 2 Doctor Who's. There was an original Doctor Who and then a new Doctor Who.
No, the way they wrote the character is brilliant. They go, he's an alien who's like immortal, but every now and then he gets hurt and he has to regenerate. So they can just recast him. So about every 6-7 years they recast him. So there's been many Doctors. There's been 10 Doctors. Anyway, all right, so Doctor Who was good this year.
All right.
The Dust Bowl was good on PBS. That was
Ken Burns. Okay, didn't see it.
It was a 2-part special, so it wasn't really a series. And then my number one show that hangs in the ether between good and bad is not on my best or worst, but it hangs there, and I keep trying to stick with it.
Yeah.
Ben and Kate.
Yeah.
I try to. I like Ben and Kate on some level.
No. Yeah.
I'm trying to like it. But it's fading.
It has elements of shows that you like. And by the way, like New Girl, New Girl was actually on my extra best of. It has elements of that where it's really good sometimes, and then sometimes Ben and Kate. I think the characters are wrong. I think it would work with other actors or other characters. Mm-hmm. It just something about it. The format's nice.
New Girl's in that same level for
New Girl's. New Girl's better though because the acting is better. The writing is better. It's really. It's not that dissimilar to New Girl other than It's not as good. Go ahead. Anything else on your almost best of list?
No, that's really it.
That's it? Okay. Well, let's get into the worst. You want to start the worst? Or I'll tell you, I'll give my worst quickly, and I'll just see if I hit any of yours. How's that?
I'm going to there's so many bad ones.
Why don't I do mine, and then you jump in when you can. I'll let you go. All right, here's my...
I'm afraid you're going to take some of my
favorites. Well, okay. The NBC Olympics coverage.
Mm.
Make the shit live. The opening ceremonies, everyone is... You had to go to an illegal streaming website to watch the Olympic opening ceremonies live in America. Because they wouldn't show them. And then when they showed them, they chopped them up and didn't they even cut out parts of the... Like, what are you doing? Anyway, that was awful.
Well, the next Olympics won't have this problem because it's in Brazil.
It's in Brazil and
so
it'll air.
It'll be an hour earlier.
Brazil is on... I think Brazil is on Central Time or something.
I think they're like an hour earlier.
Oh, no, they're an hour... You're right, you're right. They're east of us. So they
but
be,
it's not... They can... If they it's can, 7 yeah, o'clock, right. They can handle it.
I also wrote down... This is just one simple phrase. You read into what you will. Anything with hillbillies on the worst of the year. And that covers... That covers your Honey Boo Boo. That covers your Swamp People. Your turkey hunters, your hogzillas.
I had two of those shows on my list.
I could add in anything with Amish.
I had Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, I don't know.
And Hillbilly Handfish.
Hillbilly Handfish,
and
okay.
Those are on my list, and you're completely right. Here's an important point I have to make about America, please, in America and the world, please listen.
Yeah.
We've never cared about Cajun people before.
Yeah.
They're toothless,
yeah.
Retarded,
right.
Illiterate, fucking evolutionary dead ends that live in a swamp for a reason. They're the detritus of civilization.
Yeah.
I don't like them. Don't care about them. Go fuck yourself.
Well, maybe it's just that people want to only see that stereotype that we think about them. Mm-hmm. And so that's all we see about, you know, swamp
I'm not
people.
Really sure who's watching the hillbilly shows. Is it like, you know, people who live in Birmingham and have... a pantry full of, you know, Merlot, and they go, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
How ridiculous.
Right.
Or are they people that identify on some level? And you know what they are? They're probably like middle class moderate. They're like Frasier. They're like Melvindale. You know what I mean?
Well, I think
they're like a little bit hillbilly.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about America, and this will frighten anybody who's not from here. As soon as you get outside of like a city core, almost anywhere, with the possible exception of New York because it's so big, people turn into hillbillies.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, if you went to, let's pick a city at random, you know, if you go to Chicago, okay, which is an urban megalopolis and an advanced progressive city, if you go an hour or and a half south of there and you're in Aurora, you start in Danville, Illinois, everybody turns into this same culture of retarded hillbillies. Yeah. And the shows that Duck Dynasty is so fake and scripted. How can you even watch that garbage?
You know, I think it's people, whatever people's image is, now these TV producers say, let's just play up to that and give people what they want. You want to watch, you know, you want to watch Rednecks? Here you go.
Well, in the old days, you know, this hillbilly fascination is not new.
Right.
Because this goes back to the history of television. In the 60s, Andy Griffith, Mayberry RFD,
Beverly Hillbillies,
mm-hmm. Petticoat Junction, all of these shows
were
playing on this Green Acres, all played on this hillbilly thing. And then in 1971 or two, CBS famously canceled everything with a tree in it. They like, you know what I mean? They were just like, we're done with the hillbillies.
Yeah.
Then they came on with Hee Haw. Yeah. Hee Haw was a big hit.
Exactly.
After they canceled the hillbilly shows, Hee Haw. Then you had like Mac Davis and John Denver.
Well,
hillbilly culture never goes away. then you had like Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Sure.
All of that shit. It's always been there. Now it's just they went, why get a New York Jew to write this?
Yeah.
Why don't we just go find an authentic hillbilly and we'll put a camera on him and they'll go, they'll put spaghetti in a pot and then they'll put butter and ketchup on it.
Yeah.
And they'll call it Sketty.
Yeah.
Which is what they do on Honey Boo Boo.
That's the Honey Boo Boo.
And everybody
thing.
Will think that they're complete idiots, and they are.
Well, you know, hey, God bless the people.
Good.
We'll
do it this way. We don't have to do individual shows. We'll just list groups.
Well, I have groups. I have some groups. I mean, any Bigfoot show. Look, you're never going to... Here's the thing. You're never going to find Bigfoot. You can do 30 seasons with 20 episodes each. You never find in Bigfoot because he doesn't fucking exist. Long Island Medium. Again, that's TLC, which you can get rid of the TLC channel right now. You go ahead, you get rid of that. That's going to get rid of your boo-boo, your Long Island Medium.
Girls
get rid of TLC
like
channel.
That.
get rid of it. You know, TLC originally stood for the Learning Channel,
yeah, I know.
And it was guys. By the way, I don't think anything funnier than Corey Reach for a bag of Snickers.
Very
that would be very. It's a great reality show. Fat guys and candy just out of
just
reach.
Out of my reach.
That terrible. I mean, these have to have a little bit of detail. At least one does. First of all, two broke girls. You are still the worst show on television. Mm-hmm. Despite you could have 50 hillbillies hunting 50 gators while getting chased by hogs mm-hmm. in a beauty pageant with kids, and it still wouldn't be as bad as that fucking piece of shit called Two Broke Girls on. And I'm
why
here
isn't
to
this
say,
in your act?
And here's the, what I'm safe to say. Here's what I'm safe. Here's what I'm proud of saying. I am basing my review of Two Broke Girls and calling it the worst show of 2012 by not even seeing a fucking second of it. Because I've seen it in 2011. I watched way too much of it then, and it fucking sucked then. So even if it's 1,000 times mm-hmm. better than it was last year, even if it's been multiplied in its greatness and the writing has gone up by 3,000%, it's still a piece of shit. It was that bad. And then the one show I want to talk about, which isn't the worst show on TV, but it made my worst. What is the Mindy Project?
That's on
Mindy,
my list.
You had
you
a project.
Son of a bitch. You
Where is your project? Well, just talk about it. You can talk about Mindy Project. Here's my biggest problem with Mindy Project. Okay. Despite the fact that you got a guy who acts exactly like Dwight. Okay. Mm-hmm. That I give you. You were on The Office. You like Dwight. You mm-hmm. wrote a guy to act just like Dwight. I get that. Okay. What are you? Are you the sad girl who can't get laid? Are you the chubby girl who's sort of insecure? Or are you this have it? Do you have it all together and you just go through men like it's Sex in the City and I'm going to bang my way around the city and you better treat me nice or I'm out the door? What is it?
Mindy
we
Kaling,
don't even know.
Mindy Kaling got a little stroke in the business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling got to the point where she could get a show.
Yeah.
And so she decided, I'm going to be a fairy tale princess.
Yeah.
She then realized that being a fairy tale princess isn't funny. So she's now what she is she's a doctor.
Yeah.
She's a, what is she even on the show? I can't
she's
even watch
She's an OBGYN.
Okay. She's an OBGYN.
Yeah.
Who's successful.
Yeah.
Except she's a complete mess in her life.
Right.
I hate every show like this. Okay. Grey's Anatomy is like this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
They're all surgeons and they're all just complete fucking messes and disasters.
Right.
And this Mindy show, it's, I hate it.
With, yeah.
I don't just hate. Like, some of these shows, I just look at them and go, that's sad how bad
that
is.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mindy show literally makes me angry. Because Mindy Kaling was funny on The Office in small doses, and I know she was a producer on the show.
Right.
And they're all producers on The Office.
Yeah.
But she gets credit for...
Well, she was originally hired to be a writer and have a small role. And that's what she did on The Office.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What I think we're watching...
I read Mindy Kaling's book. That's why.
What I think we're watching...
I know.
What we're watching on The Mindy Project...
Yeah.
And it, for some reason, other people have done this in their comedy, and they've turned it into something interesting. They take what happens in their life, and they make it into something interesting.
Yeah.
Mindy goes, I'm an Indian girl that grew up in a world of white women.
Yeah.
And I must somehow... compensate, and I must become the fairy tale princess. So she's really cool and super neat, and everybody loves her on her show. But she has to be funny too. It's a mess. I hate that.
No,
fucking
I agree
show.
With you. It's terrible.
The worst.
And
she's annoying. She's like a 36-year-old retard invalid child. I hate it. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
I think some women, and I've heard feedback from female friends of mine.
Yeah.
That they kind of stuck with it for girl power, and I think in my own house we're getting some of that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to like it because anything that's for women.
Yeah.
And there are very few shows
written
for
by
women,
women
right?
for women, yeah.
Suburgatory was a show that didn't make my list, but I think it's a good show.
Okay.
I don't, it's not personally, doesn't resonate for me.
Sure.
Because I think it's for girls, but this Mindy Project's a disaster.
No, I agree. And you know, that my biggest problem with it was that it was the inconsistency of the character. I'm not sure what Mindy's, are we supposed to feel sorry for her? Are we supposed to like her? Are we supposed to not like her? I don't know. I don't get it. And they also lump her in with Lena Dunham. I see that a lot, where Mindy Kaling
they
and Lena Dunham
nothing alike.
Are both these precocious, you know, girls who kind of didn't do anything and became stars overnight. But you know what?
Mindy Kaling has been on The Office for 6 years.
I know, but Mindy Kaling's stuff on The Office was good. I enjoyed her book. I read her book and I enjoyed it. My feeling is that this show is just, it's just, she, if she was going to play the Kelly Kapoor show, I'd probably like that. I just don't like this character she's playing on The Mindy Project. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for doctors and lawyers and how fucked up their lives are. I just don't.
Right.
Because to me, blue collar stuff is more appealing. In The Office, the appeal of The Office was that these are people that are worked.
But with girls, though, I think that you have Lena Dunham and her character. She wants to be a writer, and she's sort of wrapped up in that world. But it's also sort of very secondary to her personal life, and that is the most important thing, is her relationship with her friends and her parents and her boyfriend. Whereas I find that this Mindy project tries to sort of, you know, she needs to be the boss at work, and there's sort of that inter-office politics. And it's just nobody cares. It's all made up.
Speak no more of it. It's all garbage.
It's all garbage. God, I hate that show. I'm out of bad shows, so you go.
You're out of bad shows? I got a million.
All right, quickly. We're at
2 hours. I'm going to list every show on every new sitcom.
Okay.
Every new sitcom on ABC. Because while I was making this list, I made sure to put which network it was on.
Okay.
Every new sitcom on ABC is garbage.
Okay.
Let me read the list.
I don't even know what they are, so go ahead.
Okay. There was Neighbors.
Okay. Don't know what that is. Okay. Let's keep moving.
Neighbors is a show. It's like Third Rock from the Sun, but creepier.
Okay.
Where a family moves into a neighborhood that all aliens live in. All
right.
And it stars, of course, the kiss of death, Jamie Gertz.
Okay. Jamie Gertz equals
We haven't seen a show this stupid since the 60s, since like my like My Favorite Martian.
Yeah.
Of course, the horrors of HBO, ABC continue with Malibu Country, starring Reba McEntire.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I mean, well, good fucking...
That's their Friday night line.
Who was clamoring for another Reba McEntire sitcom?
You know, if it was the 60s, she'd be on every show.
It's also criminal. It's true. It's also criminal because...
that's sort of the Beverly Hillbillies, isn't it? Malibu Country. Isn't
It's criminal because it's got Lily Tomlin on it, who deserves better.
She does, yeah.
And it's also got Sarah Rue, who had her own show and is now playing second fiddle to Reba McEntire.
Yeah.
Sarah Rue deserves better because she's also in my Spank Bank. But she looks good. She's like lost weight on the show. At Last Man Standing with
Tim Allen. That's a couple years in, though.
Yeah,
now,
but it sucks.
Sucks
on a mega suck level.
I'm sure it does. There's a reason it's on Friday night on ABC.
You know what that show is now? Yeah. He argues with his daughters over politics.
Oh, of course.
You know, Romney's going to turn this country around. Let me tell you, the only thing I'm going to turn around is my butt to fart on him. Yeah. It's like, it's all that. It's all just like,
he's the Republican dad.
And he's got a couple liberal daughters. Oh. And then they're fighting back and forth, but he thinks he's winning. It's so brutal. they're all bad. ABC, what other horrors are on ABC? And the worst of them all, and it got canceled immediately, Work It.
Was that? See, yeah, we were trying to decide if that was this year or last year.
You know what? I'm going to count it, because it was in the 2011 season.
Yeah, because it wasn't in the last fall, because we did our
preview. I think it only aired like 5 episodes, but one of them might have made it into January.
When the guys,
it was a Bosom Buddies clone. It was the brutal, awful, it was a prison rape. Just the worst show of all time. And I know it might not count as turning 2012, but I just want to bring it back up because it's brutal.
Work It.
I mean, horrifying.
It premiered on January 3rd, 2012.
Oh, good. Good.
Overwhelmingly negative reviews.
It made, like, what, 5 episodes?
It was canceled. Court. This thing was on the air for... Okay. It was canceled on January 13th.
So 2 episodes.
So it ran for 2 episodes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was hatefully bad.
2 episodes and gone. They did shoot 6 of them apparently. So
well, someday we'll get we'll get those other 4.
Yeah, in 20 years you'll be like, "Oh, if I could just have all of the Work It's."
Just behind ABC in the awful category was NBC sitcoms.
Right.
Which also featured the likes of Animal Practice.
Yeah, that was
dreadfully bad.
Yeah.
When the show, by the way, the monkey had the highest Q scores in the history of the network.
I haven't even given like a new. Well, actually, I gave those 2 Fox ones a chance. But okay. I didn't even watch any.
I watch pilots on new stuff all the time just to watch how bad they are. It's a passion of mine. Are You There, Chelsea? Apparently,
not anymore. I don't think it's there.
Apparently, the viewers were not.
Okay, that's.
This was a misfire on every level of conception.
Oh, that's right. That was Laura Prepon.
Okay, so what they did. Okay, Chelsea Handler, the only reason she's got a career.
My mind is blown because somehow Whitney is coming into the conversation. But
Whitney's been sucking for 2 years now. So I didn't put Whitney on the list.
Right.
Because we already established that Whitney's a new bar of sucking.
I think one thing we established that year is that Whitney wasn't as bad as it could have been. And that's only because 2 Broke Girls came on,
which
was also from the mind of Whitney Cummings and sucked completely. Okay, so tell us about what tell us about whatever her name is, Chelsea's show.
Chelsea's show. All right, it's a misconception. It's a misfire in a lot of ways. Okay, Chelsea Handler got famous because she wrote books. She was a medium weight stand up, and I saw one of those Byron Allen chuckle fests where they take the comics and they do their sets.
She was on that,
and she didn't have a set.
Oh, okay.
Like all the other comics were like sitting there doing material. She didn't really have a set and just talked about it. Her thing is like Kathy Griffin. She bitches about other celebrities and goes, you know, what's with this, you know, Lindsay Lohan or Pussy Smells? Uh-huh. That's her whole act.
Yeah.
And then on her show, she acts like she doesn't care that she's there.
Yeah.
And that the show's kind of bad and she's like, whatever. And it's kind of a drunk party.
Right.
That's her whole appeal.
Yeah. And I thought that's what her books were about, how she would get drunk and bang guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. Okay. So her appeal is, I'm on a bad talk show.
Yeah.
I'm kind of irreverent.
Yeah.
And I'll just say crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't work when you do it as a sitcom.
Yeah, sitcom, it doesn't work.
You can't, because then they're going to be sitting there talking about, you know, Lindsay Lohan's parents every episode. You know what I mean? Her whole appeal is this gossipy sort of in the moment television thing. They've tried to put her in movies. She's awful.
Yeah,
so they put her on her show. She sells her show to NBC and they go, you can't star in it, but you can play your, you can play your older sister.
Yeah, that's great.
Because they went,
what a diss.
No one wants to watch a 35-year-old drunk slut.
Yeah.
They want to watch a 32-year-old drunk slut. They cast.
Yeah, how old is Prepon?
I don't know. They cast Laura Prepon, and Laura Prepon is exactly.
She's 30. She's got to be 36.
Let's see.
37 years old. Because I would think she's closer to my age than.
Chelsea Handler claims to be 36, and those are. It's a hard 36.
Yeah, I don't know. That.
All right. Laura Prepon, let's see how old
Laura
she
Prepon,
is.
Laura Prepon, 35.
1980.
Oh, okay.
So she's 31.
She's 31,
32. Okay, 32.
Wow.
But Chelsea's 36. So you needed to cast a girl who's 4 years younger? Yeah. That's what you had to do? Because Chelsea's so unappealing?
That's awful.
It's an awful show.
All
right. Awful. I wish her career would end immediately.
I think that show might be off, by the way, at this point.
Oh, it is off.
It is off, so yeah.
No, I mean, her talk show can go, too.
Yeah, Chelsea.
The Office was terrible this year.
Well, you could say the last half of last season worse than the beginning of this season, yes? On The Office? Because all the James Spader stuff last year.
The James Spader thing didn't. The only episode that James Spader was in that worked was the house. They went to his house
and
they
had
this hot tub party.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like good.
That was good, yeah.
But James Spader's character flopped.
Yeah, he flopped.
The other character, what's her name? They brought in, who used to be on Doctor Who, and she was good on that.
The
show.
Redhead, the British woman,
Catherine Tate. Terrible.
Yeah.
Her character,
she didn't really go anywhere.
Her character doesn't fit.
But they got rid of Gabe, and they got rid of people, and Mindy Kaling's gone, and BJ Novak's gone.
Gabe was actually kind of working for
me. And then they added those two guys.
Who do nothing.
Who do nothing, but I don't know. I think it's better now, but yeah, it's time to
pull the plug.
And then like Ed Helms, like they put Ed Helms on like a boat, and they just kind of like had him send email updates, which Aaron would read. Wow. And that was his whole, like, I don't even get why. I guess he's off doing Hangover or something.
Because you know what The Office figured out?
Yeah.
They had a central romance. They had they had Pam and Jim.
Yeah.
And they got to the point about four seasons in where they couldn't string that out anymore.
Yeah.
And they married them off.
They did.
And Pam and Jim have become spectacularly boring to the point that they dull the senses of anyone.
They probably should have had them split up, but.
So
TV
what they're doing
the
with Andy and Aaron is trying to
same thing, yeah.
Go back and forth with them. The Office, I'm glad it's
but
the last
Aaron
season.
Could date that other guy, the new guy.
So the thing about The Office is it had the perfect ending episode.
Yeah.
The last
Michael
Steve Carell episode was fabulous, and it would be up there with like the last episode of Cheers in terms of ways to close the series right. And then they kept doing the goddamn thing for two seasons. It's the worst.
You know,
oh, my God.
There's a lot of money out there.
Tosh.0 can go piss up
a rope. I love Tosh.0. I don't see why you
I hate that
really.
Guy. I hate him.
Well, I warm to him in the sense that I don't even know. It makes me laugh, and I can't explain it. So I do occasionally
And you know what? I even like the soup. I'm not opposed to making fun of clips.
Right.
But there's something about his attitude I just don't like as a performer. You talk about that ironic detachment level.
Yeah.
It's not good.
What about the guy who's this Rob Drydek show where it's the same thing? You ever see that thing?
No.
He has a clip show, like Bad, What is his name? Well, Ridiculousness. It's exactly Tosh.0. He has a panel that makes fun of the clips because he's not a comedian.
Okay.
So he has, like, guests on, and the guests make fun of
him. Well, this is kind of what everything on TV is now.
A bunch of,
Well, yeah, Chris Hardwick had a show where he goofed on web clips. Yeah. There's so many of these shows. Sure. Speaking of Daniel Tosh, he's a star of another of the worst shows of all time.
Worst of all time?
Well, he's a voiceover actor.
In?
On a show called Brickleberry.
That's an animated show.
It's an animated show.
Okay.
And you know how bad most of these animated shows are?
Yeah, is that one worse than
this one's awful.
I haven't seen
it's,
it.
It's unspeakably hideous. Everything's like it's like, let's take South Park, but let's add no satirical element to it.
You know
what? You know what I mean? It's all, I tried to watch it.
I'm
Yucko the Clown is on it, for Christ's sake.
Well, I've never been a South Park guy, and really a lot of this animated stuff I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the Bob's Burgers thing, me not getting, but I never gave that a chance, but I just don't even give these shows a chance because I know my track record with Family Guy and South Park.
I'm not saying it's going to be...
And Adult Swim and all these things over the years has not been good. So I
would not say it'll be your favorite show, but try Bob's Burgers because it's about... You know what? The humor comes out of the characters. I know it's a crazy idea. The humor comes out of the characters instead of the characters being humorous. All you know what I mean?
Very good.
Like on everything Seth MacFarlane does can suck my dick. Brickleberry's terrible, unwatchable, bad. And that's saying something because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And so many of those Cartoon Network shows are just
okay.
Bad.
All right.
But, there we go. Anything else on
no,
this
No, I think we pretty much
here?
Covered it.
Glee? That's still
well,
on?
Well, hey, Glee was never made for me. So who am I to pick on Glee? I mean, you could talk about the singing shows, The Voice.
Survivor.
And Idol.
That's
and
a terrible
X-Factor.
Show.
Survivor's a good show. I mean, Amazing Race, I had on my worst last year. Because I just look at what was my worst last year. I thought the season of Amazing Race actually got better for whatever reason.
Sure.
So I can no longer pick that as my worst. I mean, I had stuff like 2.5 Men last year as my worst, which wasn't very good. American Horror Story, which was on my worst, even though I liked the first half of season one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing a thing where it's a whole new story for season two.
Right.
And it just doesn't work. That new story about an asylum was just stupid.
You're not liking that.
I had any cooking show last year, and I stand by that.
Oh, stop.
So anyway, let's say goodnight, everybody. Well, thank you very much. Corey, anything else you want to dump on?
I think we've covered most of it, really. We have... We devoted half an episode to Dish Nation, so we know that's one of the worst.
You know what? That one, we so dumped on that I couldn't even...
Anger Management with Charlie Sheen. They brought him. They're like, let's give him a show.
Yeah.
It was worse than 2.5 Men. So many bad shows. Couples Therapy on VH1 with Courtney Stodden.
Oh, jeez.
Unbelievably awful. Anything with a Kardashian.
Well, anything with basketball wives. Or
anything with a
housewife.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah,
get it out of my face.
I agree.
And the number one worst show of the year. The show I love to hate more than any other show. Tremé on HBO.
Here's the thing with Tremé.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with it. I know Tremé is done in the English language. I still turn it on, and I don't know what is happening.
What the fuck they're talking
about? I
don't
recognize, like, I go, I think they're on Earth, but I'm not sure. I think those people are speaking English, but I don't really know. I don't know what a Tremé is. I don't know anything. It's literally flickering lights and sounds. I can't decode Tremé.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what
it makes
is.
My skin
I've
crawl.
I've heard people like it, but I literally...
Tremé.
If I had a fan of Tremé in here right now, I don't think they could tell me what the show is. I don't think they could even describe it. I don't know what that is. It's just a weird... I mean, from the promos on HBO, is it... Is it a New Orleans funeral that goes on for episodes? I feel like the show is.
From what I can...
I don't even know what that
from
is.
From what I can figure, it's a show about the rebuilding of New Orleans after the Katrina.
Okay.
I think it's set in like 2005
or
something, 6. It has multiple characters on it, none of which you care about in
any way. Yeah, it just seems
it
like
it's
a bunch
of... It has actors from The Wire to make white people go, this is good.
Yeah.
It's got Steve Zahn on it because there's people that go, that Steve Zahn, he's a hipster now. It's Anthony Bourdain's one of the writers on it. Fuck you, Anthony Bourdain.
I don't even know
it's awful. It's, there's no drama. It's multiple storylines. It's about nothing. It's like, okay, look, The Wire was about Baltimore, essentially. Yeah. But you had a way into Baltimore in that you had the police station.
Okay.
Like, that was where your home base was, right?
Right.
And then you went to the drug dealers, and then you went to the politicians, and you went to all the other things. But you had a place to come back to.
Yeah.
Tremé has none of that.
So
it's about guys playing jazz.
Yeah.
It's about guys talking about Sidney Bechet for a long period.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you know, I really come at it from the Bix Beiderbecke's perspective. Oh, really?
I come at it
from a Jelly Roll Morton perspective.
It's like obnoxious
jazz bow conversations. It's about food. This is the best fucking... you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is the best scallop I've ever had.
I wonder if
it's so goddamn awful if it
structurally isn't unlike Game of Thrones, where things come and go, and you see characters that you've never met before, and there's whole new scenes, and
there's a structure.
Well, no, but Game of Thrones really. Game of Thrones has like storylines for the different characters, mm-hmm. but they'll cut from like one thing, like they'll cut to a scene on Game of Thrones. It'll be people you've never met before, ever. You don't know where they are or what they're talking about. And I feel like Tremé is sort of like that, where it's just random.
If you go to IMDb stuff. And look at the cast list of Tremé, it goes on forever. It's such a bad
show.
Do people like Tremé?
I mean, is it good?
People like to watch it. And you know what? I even saw a joke on Glee, which was a show I used to like. Look at the cast list on Tremé.
It has a 7.9 on IMDb.
And you know what? It's from David Simon, who produced Homicide: Life on the Streets,
yeah.
and The Wire, two shows I adore.
Sure, yeah.
And I cannot get into this Tremé.
Yeah,
to
I don't know. Yeah,
life.
I see the.
Look at the list of people.
It's ridiculous. Yeah,
it's 100 people on this.
Well,
show.
Well, all right, true.
It's so bad.
Getting all the vitriol, of course.
First of all, my eyes glaze over on any New Orleans conversation.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Now I have never been to New Orleans.
I admit it.
I'm sure I'll probably go down and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will find it to be a place that is a great place to hang out. I've never gone to Mardi Gras, but I hear people talk about New Orleans like it's some mystical realm.
Yeah.
Like it's goddamned Narnia.
Yeah.
Like you've never had etouffee. This shit. You
right.
know what I mean? It's all, and they're like, oh, we've got king cake. I want to punch everybody involved.
New Orleans has taken on a special importance. Like the people of New Orleans are the most caring people in the world. Like you can't, right. you know, everywhere else in America is full of assholes, but in New Orleans,
right.
everyone is very sympathetic, and
you know,
they all have Katrina
way,
and all
okay.
that. Was, okay,
we don't have black people here, do we?
Lots of black people.
We have any black?
We
people
have black
in
people, and they struggle.
Do we have blight in Detroit?
We have lots of blight. Yes.
Do we have a musical legacy?
We
of
do have
extraordinary
we
richness
do.
And diversity.
We do. Yeah.
Do we have industries that have faded? Do we have anything in Detroit that anyone would be interested in?
No.
Well, you know what they got? They got fucking gumbo.
Yeah.
That's what they got. Now, don't get me wrong. I like. You know what? Actually, if we did albums of the year, Dr. John's new album would be on my list.
Okay.
It's great, man. Produced
right.
by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys.
Okay.
Locked down. Dr. John. Great.
You're Dr. John.
I can even get into some of that, like, you know, restoration jazz stuff. But on Tremé, they talk about it in a way. You know what? You know when a show is annoying? When they talk about something I understand.
Yeah.
Because I used to work in music stores.
Okay.
And I had stocked the jazz section. So I actually kind of know what they're talking about.
Sure.
And I'd still want to punch somebody in the face. You know what I mean? It's so unctuous. It's so... Hipsterism.
Yeah.
It's like, we're so cool. We're not cool. We've been here forever in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, New Orleans, y'all.
Yeah, all right.
Fuck it. All right. Tremé can go away.
Yeah,
please
I
do
think
that.
I thought it was. I thought they were
no,
getting
it's still going
no,
on.
No, Tremé is still strong.
Is it Tremé or is it Tremé?
Oh.
I don't even know. The song is kind of catchy in the fucking beginning of it. I've tried to watch many of Me and My Baby Were Down in a Tremé. But True Blood can fuck off,
I'm
too.
Not
but Tremé,
yeah,
much worse. That's enough. I've had it.
All right, Corey's goodbye. Corey's getting up and leaving. Here he goes. He said his piece. I was going to end with music from Girls. Should we just end with that? Is that appropriate?
Play the Tremé theme song. And
gonna... All right. All right. Thank you, Corey. That is our best and worst of TV. Just... one of the many recaps I hope you're enjoying here at the end of the year for Corey. For Joel Radio.
That's
Corey,
right.
thank you.
You said it right.
Corey and Joel
you
Radio.
You said it right.
Yeah, well, that's not.
All right, everybody.
This will be called Tremé before it's called Corey and Joel Radio again. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Happy 2013.